надо отпускать.
Remember the slogan of those that live with their disability is nothing about us without us.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally tell something that is purely pride, nothing, and we all meet. So that is something that we'll have to sort out. Sorry that I speak. Everybody here, we had a session earlier on with the AG's office. Members felt quite strong that despite the fact that the department has been briefed by the AG's office, let us have our own session. We're even engaged with the AG's office. But that's fine. Minister, welcome with your team of officials, the senior managers, the DG, and everybody else. The issues before us are straightforward. They are about the process of us being briefed on the outcomes, annual outcomes of the department's performance in the past financial year since 17.
Wow,
okay. This is also part of the process that shall take us through the budget review recommendations report. A copy of last year's report was prepared by Madia. Have you circulated it, Madia? It shall be that report together with what departments have since done out of those recommendations. It shall also prepare us for the upcoming recommendations report that we shall have to compile ourselves so that we are able to see or track rather any development and how best we are going to take the process forward. So that's what we are about. It's that entire budget cycle that we're dealing with. Without waste of time, Minister, and your team, let's allow you to take us through the annual report of 2015. 2017, sorry.
Thank you.
So I thought you would be able to inform the minister in our presence of the office of the Auditor General who's going to be in the meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they know each other.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry if you will chase the wind, but it's fine. You stay with us. Thank you. Just to present.
This is my mission.
Oh, yes.
I'm the one who calls the shots. You can, you cannot. They are with us. You are more than welcome, Minister. You are more than welcome.
Thank you very much, Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. The Office of the AG, you are also welcome to be with us. You have to present today. Chairperson, I have an apology from the Deputy Minister who is off sick. And we have the team from the department. We will take you through. Myself, together with the team, will be responding on the annual report. Just to start on the presentation, Chairperson, there are commitments that we have made as a department in line with the 16-17. And those commitments, I'll just summarize on the seven that are at a high level. Amongst them is the commitment on the inclusion of young people in terms of building capacity as well as provision of new skills in the water sector. A learning academy has been utilized, and we have in the financial year 2016-2017 181 engineers and scientists that have now since been appointed in permanent posts as part of building the capacity of the state. The second issue that we spoke to in that financial year was on ensuring equitable water allocation as well as availability for socio-economic development. And mostly it's around program funds, and the target there has not been fully achieved on the validation and verification of water allocation in three catchments, and I'm sure that there will be more explanation as we do the presentation from the team that is dealing with the unit that is dealing with the validation and verification through Mr. Mkhize. And the third area is on targeting rural development initiatives that support smallholder farmers, which is found on Program 4. And in it, we were able to deal with the implementation of this intervention through the financial support to the Resource Poor Farmer Program, as well as the implementation of rainwater harvesting programs, focusing mostly on food production as well as on household productive use. The fourth area is on support to SMEs as well as micro enterprises, and it's found on Program 1 in finance coordinating this commitment. The target we had put was to ensure that there is compliance with the requirements. We have not been able to fully achieve, but we are at a better position in terms of we are over 70% in terms of payment within a period of 30 days. The full implementation of the new also preferential procurement regulations, because it's not only about payment of service providers, but it is also about inclusion and building capacity. We have been able to ensure that the preferential procurement regulations are also attended to. And the fifth one is on policy and institutional reforms. Cabinet had approved the new national sanitation policy in December of 2016, which was the year under review. And the fifth area is on strategic international water agreements, and we had an approval of a five-year Africa and Global International Program that coordinates the work in the continent, but also our responsibilities in terms of compliance with the conventions and the international commitments. The most critical one is delivery on water security infrastructure, which is on Program 3. In that program, we achieved 67%, which was a huge improvement as compared to the previous financial year. And of importance is that we had 13 mega water and wastewater services projects, and all of them are found in almost all provinces, all of them above an amount of 1 billion. And during this period under review, we also were able to continue with the provision of water storage, including the regional bulk infrastructure, as well as one thing that is important, and I'm happy that the AG's office is here, that we had to also intervene in areas that have got nothing to do with the core mandate of the department, but in line with the constitutional obligations, we had to make such interventions. We looked at the work that had to do with the Hazel near dam in terms of the bulk infrastructure. We dealt with phase 2C of the Olifants water resource development project. The phase empowerment of the Hazel near dam continued with two stages that are now completed. And on Olifants, we now at a 40-kilometer pipeline. On the very regional and infrastructure, bulk infrastructure, we had 35 large water and wastewater services projects, and most of them were completed during the period under review. Of the 35, under construction. We had those that were in the Eastern Cape, some were in the Free State with 8, and Gauteng with 2, KZN with 5, and Limpopo had 4, and Mpumalanga 1, with the Northern Cape having 2, and the Northwest 7, and the Western Cape 1. The two completed projects are in the Kalahari East to Mere Pipeline in the Northern Cape, as well as one in the Free State. Of the 519 small water and wastewater services projects that we implemented under the RVIC, as well as accelerated community infrastructure, we were able to complete 31, and the others, because of their nature, they are multi-year projects. For the first time, the department implemented the desalination plant in Richards Bay, which was also seen as an intervention in terms of the drought, but it is also an investment going into the future. Chair, there are issues that have to do with our own engagements with the Office of the AG. And amongst other things that we note is that in his report, the AG has identified that despite budgeting and accounting for reclassified payments and transfers, the flawed nature of transactions has not been changed. And our response in that regard is that we are finalizing the transfer of assets and liabilities, and we are aligning the converted project transactions to the modified cash standard in collaboration with the affected municipalities. Because it has to do with those with particular municipalities that require our own intervention and support in ensuring that there is alignment. The second one is on fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We have objected to this area against the audit from the AG, particularly on the statement where it is alluded that a system of control that includes proper project management and costing techniques in line with construction norms and standards were inadequate. And that to this extent, the department's processes to ensure that all fruitless and wasteful expenditure identified and disclosed were inadequate. This is one area where we are objecting to the audit from to the statement made by the Auditor General. The second area also that we are objecting to is on irregular expenditure. Our views are totally different from those raised by the AG, and we hope that we'll take the matter and engage with the AG so that there is consistency based on what was audited in the previous years, dating as far back as 2008 up to this financial year. And that has to do with the 715 million in payments that the AG alleges that is in contravention to the PFMA. On the unauthorized expenditure, which is the third area, the department has enhanced capital infrastructure project planning, and it has also been able to reduce emergency intervention projects to a minimal worth, ensuring compliance with the financial structure. And this is what we are already doing with all new projects. And this, again, is another contradiction between ourselves and the AG, in view of the fact that we're dealing with multi-year projects that are audited differently every year, and yet it is a continuation of the work that we are doing. We're looking also on the area of accruals that we will be talking to, and in that area, there's work that is being done to deal with capacity building for our own officials, as well as dealing with our accruals and reconciliation on a month-to-month basis, so that then we are able, per quarter, to trace what has been done and what needs to be spent on, and how best we can then give projections going into the future, and finally be in a position to account per annum. And that we see as work that has to be done on a month-to-month basis, accumulating on a quarterly basis, and then becoming an annual reporting a package done by the department. I'm going to invite the acting DG to take us through then on the analysis of the different programs, so that then we can then move. And if there is anything, we would also invite our program head the branch heads to also do their own submissions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister, Chair, and Honourable Members. I'm going to take you through the non-financial information of the Department in terms of the work that we did during the year under review. I'll start from slide 14. Let's talk through the strategic objectives of the Department in line with the five programs that we have in the Department. Program one, in terms of the achievement, we achieved 75%. And 25% were not achieved. Program 2, which is planning and information management, we achieved 80%. Program 3, as the Minister has alluded, achieved 67% of the set strategic objectives. Sanitation program, 100%. And regulation achieved 40%. And that is on page from page 42 to 85 of the annual report. Then if I move to slide 15. Slide 15 indicates the achievements in terms of the strategic objectives that I mentioned. The first one being the integrated national water resource monitoring strategy that was finalized, the target was achieved. The river system monitoring with water resource classes and resource quality objectives that was done in the year. 8 large water supply systems were monitored for water losses. 21 bulk water supply and sanitation services infrastructure project plans were completed. We have the approved National Asset Management Master Plan. 13,591 household sanitation systems were replaced. 2 rural development initiatives were implemented to support the smallholder farmers. Continuing on slide 16 with the targets that were achieved. 30% per annum targeted procurement that supports black entrepreneurs. 4,512 job opportunities were created. We also achieved a draft bill for public consultation. In addition, the national sanitation policy was approved by cabinet in December 2016 in order to enable the draft bill to include the sanitation. Annual appraisals of shareholder contracts and business plans with all the entities that are within the department. That was done. Water and sanitation sector application framework was developed. We also approved 5-year Africa and Global International Relations program. And we also did the annual assessment of progress against the partnerships, communication and stakeholder relations program. Then we also have the targets that were not achieved. If you look at program one, which is administration, the main one that was not, the one that was not achieved is the issue of the unqualified audit outcome for 2016-17. Even though there were still have issues with the AG on fruitless and wasteful expenditure as well as regular expenditure. So in the 15-16 financial year, we had unqualified audit. So this one, in the 16-17, we have the qualified audit opinion based on the issues that the minister alluded to. The next program is water infrastructure development. The milestone that was achieved was 253 bulk water supply and sanitation services infrastructure projects were not completed. This is a combination of our grants, which is ARBIC, WASIC, and ACE projects, and funds were reprioritized during the year to support emergency interventions relating to drought relief as well as certain operations and maintenance projects to ensure water security. Under water sector regulation, the target that was not achieved was draft water and sanitation services regulatory compliance and assessment tools was not achieved. Target was not achieved as the consolidation of the regulatory instrument is still underway. Development of the integrated regulatory information system has subsequently been developed in the current financial year with the maturation of the Blue Drop System plan in September 2017. The remaining systems will be integrated in the following 2 financial years. These will include our EULAs, the RPMs, TDS, the non-drop systems, national compliance information management systems, as well as information case management. still under regulation. The drug mine water regulation program was not achieved. The finalization of the policy informing the draft national mine water regulation program took longer than anticipated, affecting the achievement of this target. Current processes are underway to provide the policy and technical framework for establishing the national mine water regulation program that will be developed over the next 3 to 4 years. The first element, the mine water policy, has been gazetted for public comment closing next month. The second element, the mining intensive catchment assessment, are on track with corresponding mitigation strategies. And lastly, the technology and partnership with the coal mining sector on impacted mine water treatment and reuse are in an advanced stage. And lastly, as a target on the water sector regulation again, which is the VNV, verification and validation of water allocations in 3 catchments. The minister did touch on this one. Also, this target was not achieved. Overall, when you look between main account and water trading, we had set 68 indicators. Of that, 33 were achieved, and 14 were partially achieved, and 21 of those indicators were not achieved. For water trading, process CMA targets were all achieved, and under financial management, 67% was achieved. In terms of the targets, there are 3 that were set, 2 were achieved, and 1 was not achieved. Water resource management, those ones were achieved. In terms of the detail for each program under main account, sub-program under administration, which is corporate services, they achieved all their targets. Financial management, 67%. Departmental management, their targets there under impact were not achieved. And International Water Corporation, they achieved all their targets. Maybe if I provide some information under departmental management, 43% versus the plan 100% compliance with management performance assessment tool was achieved. 15 of the 35 standards achieved full compliance. The 57 compliance with MPEG standard was not achieved, as certain key performance areas had additional requirements resulting in the attainment of partial compliance. These are strategic planning, governance and accountability, human resources and financial management. An improvement plan for the MPEG compliance has been developed in the current financial year and is monitored since the beginning of this financial year. The water planning and information management, first sub-program is integrated planning. They achieved 67% of the third target. Water ecosystems, 100%. Water information management, 100%. Downwards and local water management, water services and local water management, 50%, and sanitation, cleaning and management, the target they were not achieved. A comment on those targets that were not achieved, a total of 7 implementing readiness studies for water and wastewater services projects were not completed due to contractual measures that took longer than anticipated. The reprioritization of resource projects and budget reallocation in consultation with provincial offices and municipalities had to be done to confirm the project list and co-funding, which contributed to the delay in achieving this target. Second one, we achieved 17 instead of 53 WSAs were assessed for socio-economic impact. The plan to assess 36 water service authorities for socio-economic impact was not achieved, as the signing of the contract with the service providers occurred later than anticipated, and thus delaying the completion of the completion deadline. The assessment of the remaining WSAs was carried over to the current financial year and is being finalized. Water infrastructure development, in terms of the target, the first sub-program, which is water services infrastructure, they achieved 25% of their target. infrastructure development and rehabilitation, 25%, and water resources, 50%. The plan to have 2 mega water and wastewater services projects ready for implementation were not achieved. The first one, the Polokwane wastewater treatment works, only the implementation readiness study was concluded. Second one, the sediment bulk regional sewage, the program for the project had to be reviewed as the sediment regional water scheme projects were prioritized to include new treatment projects. That includes upgrading the Lukale and Ristret plants. As a result, the implementation readiness study was not finalized before the end of the financial year. The plan to complete the construction of 1 mega water and wastewater service project was also not achieved. The plan to complete the construction of Chozini or Kongola Port bulk water supply project was not achieved as funds had to reprioritize during the year. Subsequently, the project was accelerated through bridge funding provided by Mshatu the Water in the phase of the project being completed. The second one, Emalahleni bulk water supply upgrade. Although the project is 66% complete, it is currently on hold due to contractual and financial challenges. The construction will commence as soon as challenges have been resolved. And lastly, the Western Haifa water supply scheme. This is a cross-border project involving 3 regions, which is Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Limpopo. After internal department discussion, the project was transferred to Mpumalanga regional office. Mpumalanga is busy with feasibility studies, and those are done through rainwater. The plan to complete the construction of 1 large water and wastewater services project was also not achieved. The plan to complete the construction of KSD sanitation project was not achieved, as there are land matters prohibiting its completion that are being resolved by the affected parties. Subsequently, the expropriation route has been prepared by the Amatola Water and Council for approval from the Otago, also has been granted. Still under water infrastructure development, which is program 3, we plan to complete the construction of the 251 small water and wastewater services projects. Was also not achieved, and some of them are under AFIC, and some of them are under ASIP and WASIP. And those ones that are under AFIC, a total of 5 projects were not completed. That includes Matatiel, bulk water scheme, Sandy River, Rhinostatsberg, Holmastad, and Pearl Bulk Sewer. Under ASIP, a total of 45 projects were not completed as funds had to be reprioritized to fund drug rail projects. That includes the Northwest and Free State. Under WASIC, which is Water Services Infrastructure Grant, a total of 201 projects will be completed during the fourth quarter of the municipal financial year, which is the first quarter of our financial year. The plan to create 113 job opportunities was not achieved. The implementation of the Oliphant River Water Resource Development Project, which phase 2D, 2E and 2F, was affected by the longer than anticipated transfer between the department and CCTA. The plan to have 5 bulk raw water projects ready for implementation, that was not achieved. That included San Mini, Nomitwa, and the Clan William. The 3 Mzimbubu and the Oliphant. Program 4, which is water and sanitation services. The first sub-program, which is water sector support, achieved 75% of the plan target, and the national sanitation services achieved 100%. A total of 807 versus the 1,500 tanks were installed to harvest water for food production and other household productive use. The plan to install the 693 tanks to harvest water was not achieved as funds have to be reprioritized to support the drought interventions. And lastly, the water sector regulation. The first draft program, the targets that were set were not achieved in the first sub-program, second, and the third one, enforcement achieved 100%. And the water services and sanitation regulation, 50%. Institutional oversight, 25%. Water use authorization, partially achieved 100%. And water sector regulation management support, partially achieved was 29%, and 71% of that target was not achieved. In terms of the details, the two of the planned catchments were assessed for, of the three catchments were assessed for acid mine drainage. The plan to assess the Ustutu Mhlathu, the catchment for the acid mine drainage, was not achieved due to human capacity constraints. Post the end of the financial year, this was recovered in May. One of the planned two catchments on MD mitigation strategies were developed. The plan to develop a mitigation strategy for the Vaal catchment was not achieved, as the review of the catchment is still underway. Post the end of the financial year, this was recovered in April. Funding and technology working with groups in place. The plan for developing a funding model was not achieved, as the funding model is still being finalized. Post the end of the financial year, this funding model is active. The Institute Highlands Water Program loan mechanism was done in May. The EI process instituted, scoping report published for public comment. The plan to complete the Witwaters Rand AMD long-term project is not achieved, as a single source procurement of the AI practitioner had to be revised to include broad-based economic empowerment objectives. Subsequent to the end of the financial year, a closed bid process was followed, compliant with specific financial training, which resulted in the PSP being appointed in July 2017. Olifant Catchment Coordinated Body established. The plan to establish the Olifant Catchment Coordinated Body was not achieved, as the negotiations for an agreed governance structure from the various companies and organizations is still ongoing. The Mine Water Coordinating Body in the Olifant Catchment has subsequently been formally established. The draft National Water and Sanitation Resources and Services Strategy developed. The plan to develop the draft National Water and Sanitation Resources and Services Strategy was not achieved due to the delays in finalizing the contractual issues. Approved water supply and sanitation norms and standards published. This target was also not achieved, as there was delays in finalizing the contractual arrangement. Subsequent to the end of financial year, it was gazetted for public comment on the 5th of September for a period of 30 days. Business case for the establishment of the independent economic regulator. The plan to have an approved business case for the establishment of the independent economic regulator was not achieved, as the business case is on hold until the next financial year. Subsequently, a draft business case has been developed accordingly. Financial pricing strategy. The plan to gazette the final water pricing strategy was also not achieved, as the process to obtain the concurrence from other stakeholders is still ongoing. The three catchment management agencies gazetted for establishment. The plan to gazette the establishment of three CMAs was not achieved, as the process for the gazetting is still ongoing. Subsequently, a review on the institutional model for water resource management was conducted. This is in line with the Presidential Review Committee on rationalizing the state-owned entities. The Minister has since approved the establishment of the single public entity to manage the water resources. Water sector, still under water sector regulation, two cross-flow regional water utilities gazetted for establishment. The plan to gazette the establishment of two cross-flow regional water utilities was not achieved, as the matter is still being consulted on with interested and affected stakeholders. both in KZN and Northwest. 68% of the planned 80% that was planned for the year under review. The plan to finalize 129 water use authorization within 300 days was not achieved due to inadequate human resource at catchment management agencies. In addition, the delays in specialist input data affect the finalizations of the applications. Subsequently, WULA regulations have been published with statutory timeframes, 300 days, and 141 of the approved 198 contract workers have been appointed to provide support with the processing of the water use licenses. If we look on the next slide, we said 51 talks to the water trading entity performance. There are two sub-programs, which is financial management and total CMAs. And there's one that were not achieved. The target not achieved as there was no mandatory requirements for the water trading contractors to subcontract certain procurement to EMEs, which affected the achievement in this regard. So 13% of the plan, 15% target procurement but spent on exempted micro enterprises. In terms of our predetermined objectives, the four programs received unqualified audit opinion, except for program one, which had the issue of the MPET as well as the issue of the unqualified audit under sub-program financial management. In terms of the financial performance, the acting CFO for main account will take us through, as well as the CFO for water trading entity will also give me that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, LPNDG. Slide number 56 depicts the spending of the department at the end of 31st March 2017. The department spent 100.7% of the allocation with an overspending of 110 million on the vote. The main division of the vote, that is program 4, water and sanitation services, recorded overspending of 292 million. And the bottom part of the slide is the economic classification, which indicates that we have had a savings of 100 million on COE, and then within services, we have recorded overspending of 53 million, transfers and subsidies savings of 21 million, and 179 million overspending on capex. Slide number 57, statement of financial performance for the year ended 31st March 2017. The rearrangement of the expenditure, including the revenue. The department had a surplus overall, sorry, deficit, taking into consideration the departmental revenue of 89 million. The spending under transfers and subsidies went up as a result of a rearrangement of the budget, where projects which were initially included under KPEX have now been moved to transfers and subsidies. Then the corresponding reduction is recorded under your capital expenditure. On slide number 58, the statement of financial position for the year ended 31st March 2017. Our current assets total 530 million, and a large portion of that is unauthorized expenditure to the value of 406 million. Prepayments and advances is 8 million, and receivables totaling 79 million. The current liabilities of the department at the end of March reflect that we had to surrender 296 million to the revenue fund, and we also recorded bank overdraft to the value of 194 million rounded. And we have payables which are 101,000. Slide number 69, statement of change in net assets, just a reflection of the movement of the recoverable revenue from the previous year to the current year, indicating the movement also on the debt rate as well as the amount recovered during the period. On slide number 60, the cash flow statement again is the rearrangement of the statement of financial position and performance, which also reflects at the bottom that we have closed at the negative amount of 193 million. Slide number 61, those are the notes to the reported expenditure COE, cost of employees, the underspending of 100 million that is earmarked fund that we are required to surrender back to National Treasury. And under goods and services, the main reasons for the overspending is due to the intervention that the department had to engage in, where we intend expenditure for water tankering in respect of drought relief, providing water to the affected communities, as well as expenditure incurred in respect of operations and maintenance, where we had to intervene as a department. The following slide number 62, transfers and subsidies. The underspending is mainly due to the withholding of the allocated transfer to the municipality, Tawazimbi, for water services infrastructure grant, where we could not transfer the allocated amount due to the risk of misappropriation, and also the issues around the department having to comply with the Division of Revenue Act. And under the capital expenditure, the overspending that we have recorded at the end of March is mainly due to unfunded projects under the budget eradication program, which were processed against the insufficient budget. The following slide deals with the analysis of the audit outcomes of audit report. Slide number 64 shows the trend since 2013, where we had commitment accruals and movable tangible assets as qualification items. 14, 15, two items qualified, and 15, 16 unqualified report opinion. And then in the current financial year that we are dealing with now, transfers and subsidies, which relate to inadequate classification of transactions that relate to projects that we have reclassified from CAPEX to transfers and subsidies. And the other two items were referred to earlier on fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as well as irregular expenditure. Under transfers and subsidies, the shifting of the project from capital expenditure budget item to transfers and subsidies was duly approved by National Treasury, but what led to the inadequate classification is the transfer of assets through MOUs that had to be revised, which, as we just mentioned earlier on, that we are in the process of finalizing. Material uncertainty related to going concern, financial sustainability is one of the audit issues that has been raised in the report. The department, as it has been said earlier on, had to intervene in a number of communities, which led to the department closing on a negative at the end of the year. However, there are measures in place now to ensure that there is enhanced planning and also to reduce the interventions where the department cannot incur its expenditure. Accruals and payables relate to systems of internal controls, which we have indicated that the training to officials and also the strengthening of our reconciliation, and mainly this relates to accruals and payables through the implementing agent. And measures are also in place to ensure that between the department and the implementing agent, there is coordination of the accounting for the accruals and payables monthly, quarterly, also annually. Unauthorized expenditure is mainly due to the overspending of the main division of the board under bucket eradication, as well as operations and maintenance expenditure that has been incurred under Program 3. Restatement of corresponding figures, as well as financial statements. That is where the department has also put in measures to have monthly interim financial statements as a roll up to the quarterly as well as the annual financial statements, including focused training for our regional and head office staff. Slide number 68, in respect of procurement and contract management. The governance structures in the form of supply chain management committees are now in place where they were inadequate committees. They are now there and they are functioning. And communication has also went out in the form of a circular to the IA to ensure that all our stakeholders are aware of the requirements of the department in respect of supply chain management capacity. Consequence management, the department has already put in measures to institute disciplinary proceedings against affected employees. This includes also issuing of warning letters and there's also re-establishment of the financial misconduct committee as part of the remedial actions to address the issues around consequence management that has been raised in the audit report.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Chair, honourable members, Minister. I will start first with slide number 70. Slide number 70, which is our statement of financial position, indicates that we have a deficit of 3.6 billion. But I want to just go to slide 71 to briefly explain and let's to understand more of the deficit that is there of 3.6. Basically, we go to slide number 71. We are saying the majority, because of the department, OTTA, we have contra entries that we actually put through, and some of these contra entries are accounting entries, which at the end of the day gives us what we currently have. At the bottom there, I've explained that the CTA interest accrued, and WT uses accrual based on accounting, which requires that amortized interest be accounted for in our books. This is not real cash outflow in the WT financial thing, but an accounting book entry driven by TCA amortization standard, which they are using is the standard book from the RFS standard AG8 fair value adjustment, mainly as a result of two things. the change in the timing of projected cash flows, these costs which were projected to be incurred in the current financial year but have not actualized, and the timing of which has been shifted. This was mostly affecting the AMD long-term project. The second issue is there was also a revision of the project cost for AMD long-term and the larger portion of being the Lesotho Islands Phase 2. Because TCA future costs are then higher than what was projected last year, and the internal rate of return cannot be adjusted to take this adjustment into consideration. Finance costs increased by this adjustment as per the amortization calculation as stipulated in our standards. So I felt I should explain that, because in the uncertainty that the AG also puts, it puts both of us, which actually the problem is actually our overdraft. Now, slide number 72 is the statement of financial position, which I think I'll pass through. And slide number, the cash flow statement, I think the bottom left cash flow statement, the issue that we are affected with is the overdraft of 2.1 or 2.2 billion, which mainly is as a result of the non-collectability of our debt. Slide 77 shows the trend of WT in terms of the audit finding. If you compare 2015, the previous year, and the year under review, we will all agree that what has been qualified in the year we are under review is not the same as the matter that came from last year. Meaning that the two qualification areas that AG found, they are not in. The one qualification that we have is the asset under construction, which is the one that I will say what are we doing to try and address that. The three audit findings, we are appealing those. We're still in the appeal, and I think we will discuss that after the AG has looked at our appeal. The slide number 79, what are we doing with the issue of the assets under construction? There are three areas which are our challenge currently. Completed assets were not transferred to infrastructure assets. We're saying the root cause is the incorrect classification of projects as either CAPEX or OPEX at the budgeting phase, which at times changes during the implementation phase. The multi-projects that are interlinked are not grouped or included in one completion certificate. Inadequate project management to manage the construction project. Our action, best action, is to a thorough revisit of the asset under construction population will be conducted to clean up all transactions lying under the asset under construction and the general ledger and be matched with existing assets. Secondly, on monthly basis, the AUC, the asset under construction general ledger, will be reconciled to link to the project still underway. The second issue on the asset under construction is the impairment of assets under construction was not accounted for. The root cause, we are saying, is that there is an inadequate project management to manage the projects that are constructed, and our action is that at the year-end projects will be assessed for indication of impairment, and project managers will be identified for the ongoing project and quarterly reports to be provided. Lastly, under asset under construction, transactions that are not properly planned or equipment were reported in asset under construction. We say the root cause there, WT did not have adequate processes in place to reconcile the carrying amount of actual AUC and the reclassifying and closed projects. We're saying we're going to provide the training for both our contractors as well as the finance bureau. Slide number 18 is the one I said, the, all the measures of qualification, which we still have appealed to the AG. But on the measures that are on the slide number 81, the overdraft issue, we're saying that the entity will implement stringent cash flow management, which we are doing now. Entities also engaging cabinet to resolve the capital challenges. We proceed with the debt recovery processes, non-payers, listing of non-payers with the credit bureaus to appoint additional debt collectors to handle the collection process, as well as to implement an electronic bill for improved online and real-time invoicing, and to fully implement the customer relation and resolve queries for our customers. The cabinet memo has been drafted to obtain support on the following credit control measures to be discussed on the 20th of October for consultation. National Treasury to assist us possible to withholding or diluting the portion of the equitable share, restricting or suspending water supply, ring fence, raw water use charges, the budget for the MTF enter into payment arrangement to settle the debt. Proceed with legal process, credit bureau appoint more debt collectors as part of the strategy to ensure that we deal with the huge impairment of our trade debtors. Then in terms of disciplinary, we think the root cause has been the slow processes initiating disciplinary action by land management. We are saying that the re-establishment of the financial misconduct will assist, I think my colleague has alluded to that, and will assist line managers. In terms of the issue of the 1.2 million raised by AG about the progress and waste pool of the accounts, particularly for ESCOM, we are currently in dispute with ESCOM, trying to resolve the matters of them having to amend the contract that we're having with them. And those are the... Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. We will end the call with that. And if there are any other issues, we have the other program managers, but also the three gentlemen will be available to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Maybe just for people's reference, we have taken a discussion with the Auditor General's office, where we pondered on a few areas of concern and interest. Obviously, members shall have to raise some of those issues themselves directly with them, having to unpack some of those. Well, one of those areas that we took an interest in is a report, or rather a briefing by your internal audit unit, a directory. If you have any of those who are present here. Do you have your internal audit unit? You don't have anyone. You can put up the mic if you're comfortable.
No, we don't have anyone from internal audit.
Okay, we took a definite interest in getting a briefing by that unit. For obvious reasons, among others, they certainly, as they do their work, do come up with specific recommendations on the part of the department on areas that need some polishing up, if not tightening up. Looking at the report by the AG's office, it does talk to a number of those issues. If I were just to refer you due to such on page. Page 345, financial and performance management. There are a number of areas that require, and they pertain mainly to the management. Management did not implement proper record management systems. Management did not review assets under construction. Management did not reconcile and adequately review financial models. They go on and on and on. I would imagine part of what the AG's office would have been dealing with. Also, these are intimately linked to what the task of that internal audit unit should be. But the second issue that we dealt with, obviously without having put the what was cut for the horse. We took a very keen interest on some of the reports. They are also enlisted in the AG's office report regarding the SIU investigations that have been taking place in the department. And also your own independent consulting firm that has done some investigations. That report is available, as mentioned in the report by the AG's office. Your own independent consulting firm that has been doing some research, or not research, but investigation. We certainly will take an interest on both that SIU and also that independent consulting firm report. We take note of the appeals. But that's a subject matter that we shall have to take a keen interest in. I'm sure members will have some specifics that they will wish to deal with insofar as this area is concerned. The very last page on 346 of the report of the AG. SIU investigated possible conflict of interest, and SIU is conducting forensic investigation on Buani. Independent consulting firm performed an investigation and so on and so forth. That is now directed by yourselves, both the minister and also the DG. So we take a keen interest on those, but these are not matters for today. And then as I said, my last comment is that we take a very keen interest and we take note of some of the appeals and objections that you have put across to the AG's office. The members will certainly take some specific issues out of those. Okay, I just thought, members, let me just outline and also highlight some of the concerns raised, and they are in your report of the department, especially specifically on the AG's report itself. Okay, any questions, comments? Okay, let's just do it this way. Mr. Chauke, no questions, no comments, no comments.
Chair, Chairman, you have started correct. Firstly, my point of view will be to get the department to confirm the status of the Internal Audit Committee and risk, because these are the first line of defense that help the department before it gets itself into a situation that becomes better. I just wanted to confirm that they're functioning, they're working. Secondly, I want to ask the department chair if they've had a sight of a submission that was made by the AG to the portfolio committee, especially on the program's performance, expenditure per program performance achievement, because you did make mention of your targeted the achievement in our programs. In specifically, I want to deal with program 3, where the UTSA General talks of an achievement of 28%. I want the department either to confirm that or to elaborate on your understanding of this performance indicator. It's very important, Chair, because what I listened to when the acting Director General was presenting, the targets were far different compared to what the AG is saying. I see similarities between the AG, I mean the department and the entity, with regard to the objection on fruitless, wasteful expenditure, irregular expenditure. What informs this, therefore? Maybe someone would like to explain. Why is it that both the department and the entities have a problem with the finding on fruitless and wasteful expenditure? And both of you are objecting. What is the reason? Maybe we may have to elaborate to an extent that the AG is here with us, Chair. We may have a situation where AG will have to clarify a certain standoff. Because the exercise of the committee and the AG and the department today will be try and have an understanding as to exactly what is the problem. These objections that we have lodged, what are these objections? Because we are now at the level where we have now sort of finalized the annual report, and we are now dealing with the presentation of the annual report. And maybe again to tell us the audit action plan, if there's any in place, where you then deal with all issues that are raised by the UTSA General, action, the date, timelines, and all of that. I think it will be important for us to have that understanding. But again, in your view, the accounting officer, what is your view of the Auditor General's report? What is your view? Especially, I'm raising this, Chair, informed by the current, you know, discourse around, you know, you have your prize. What is this thing that is being put into the media now? For the term, KPMG. What is your view with the work that is being done by the UTSA General as the accounting officer of the department? I'm beginning to pick up serious discrepancies and disputes. Maybe you may want to share with us in detail as to what is your view with regard to the work done by the UTSA General. For now, I'll pause there, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm a safe organizer that the situation that we find ourselves as a portfolio committee, it's so difficult. Where you have got the Auditor General presenting a report and the department dispute, you then have drawn the portfolio committee to do your oversight. I must put it for the rest. Chair, there's an issue which Honorable Chau has raised. I want to take it further, Chair. To what extent the department disagree with AG? Because you have got two reports that are not talking to each other. You have got the AG that is saying this is how the department has performed in terms of non-finance. And you have got a department that presents another picture. You have got an AG that says this is how we find the department with regards to finance. And you have got the department that disputes that. And my second question would be that go to an extent of the department disputing the qualifications that the AG has found on both to accounts. because it's supposed to go to that extent. I want to understand that, Chair, because you can't dispute certain findings and then you don't have a problem with the last, the main one. Secondly, it relates to the annual performance of the department. What is your annual performance? Because the AG is saying you are at 50%. What is yours, according to you, annual, all the program? It's not here on the presentation. The other issue, it talks to the AG is saying they find double invoicing in a number of your projects. Which are those projects where that double invoicing? And how much that relates to this double invoicing? And which are these companies that are involved? And if there are any steps taken against the people, the officials who are involved in relation to this double invoicing, we just want to understand if there's any. The other issue related to your cashman management agency, what is the problem for you not to achieve that? Because there are three that you're supposed to have accomplished. What are the challenges? Why did you not achieve that? It becomes very difficult, Chair. If the first question was not answered, I think it's going to create serious difficulties in going further with other questions that relate to the issue which Honourable Chauke has raised. But if we are going to have an opportunity to come after the department has responded, we will welcome that.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Chairperson. Chairperson, not only does the department's report differ from the IG's report, but in their own report, there's a huge problem. I'll take you to page 14, program 3. You say in program 3 that you've achieved 67% of the achievements of your report. On your report, page 14.
Is this the...
Yeah, the presentation.
The presentation. Page 14. The AG says it's 28%. Now, just go to page 23. You will see that you set your programs. Per program 18, you achieved 6. 6 of 18 gives you 33%, not 67%. If you add up your 68 programs with the 33 programs, that gives you 48%. You say on page 21 you've achieved 50%. It's 48%. So your own document is not speaking page to page. It's not speaking to each other. So this, I would then agree with the AG, because the AG says you've achieved 5 of the 18 in your water infrastructure development program. 5 achievements. That gives you 28%. So please explain to me, where do you get 67% if on your own version you say you've achieved 6, you and the AG differ there with 1 project, but the difference is 33% to 67%. Thank you, Chair.
Lastly, Chair, on the accruals, you don't mention the accruals, and there is a difference in the accruals. In your report that served on the 23rd before the Portfolio Committee, the amount that the accruals are 1.4 63 billion rand on your own version. But that was not communicated with National Treasury, with the Auditor General, sorry. They don't have that same amount. And I don't see you disputing the amount of 405 million. That you are not disputing. You are disputing small stuff, but the big stuff you don't dispute. So could we get a clarification on the 1.46 billion as of the 31st of March 2017? I even got a breakdown on infrastructure, normal goods and services, accruals on payments on sanitation projects in front of me, and this report is the first quarter report that you have submitted on the 23rd of August to the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Mrs. Mahavani, no such Mrs. Baker.
Thank you, Secretary. Three issues I think that the previous speaker has already asked about it, one of the internal auditors and the institute one. The third one is under water infrastructure development. The report indicates that all the targets were not achieved. So my question is, since the plant and the intervention project, all of them, you failed to achieve them as a department, I think it poses a serious concern, not only to the department, but also to the communities. Because I think whatever we are trying to put our minds on, or trying to think about it, at the end of the day, we wanted to see the good end result, which is of our communities being serviced or getting water. And your motto is very much clear and nice to say, water is life. But failing to achieve all these things, it means we're not taking care of the lives of our people. What is your intervention on that? Or what will be your intervention if really you are concerned of our people? Or really concerned of your day-to-day activity, which is to make sure that we deliver things to our people. Thank you, Chair.
Mrs. Beck.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, a number of issues. First, the dropper block and the worn leaks. Can the department please indicate how much money they've spent on each of those programs? The validation of the water allocation in the three catchments, that didn't happen. Can you give us more details on why and when we can expect it and what impact it has, especially if we look at the Chair keeps raising about the irrigation boards and water boards. We need to finalize the validation process of those water allocations. And the establishment of the National Water Infrastructure Agency, when can we expect that process to be completed? Then there was an issue of 100, and I'm not sure if it's 111 because it seems to be different in different documents. 111 million rand or 114 million rand, it was transferred to Sedibeng Water. And the reason was stated as financial assistance. Can you please give us more details? What is this financial assistance? How is this money allocated? And how will it be recovered? And what's it for? In a number of occasions in these documents, project has to be deferred or could not be implemented because of drought intervention projects. And yet on page 81, even the overdraft facility is also one of the reasons that, for the overdraft. There's three reasons given there. One of them is also drought relief projects. Can we just get an indication of just exactly how much money was going towards these drought projects, and where and what are these drought projects being? Then on slide, what is it, 71, I was just trying in layman's terms, please correct me if I'm wrong, basically the explanation given on the interest accrued is basically that we could implement projects, an additional cost were incurred, and the delays have resulted in increased cost of projects. Is that basically what it says in layman's terms? Because that sounds really, very, very confusing to me. I just want to know, that's basically how I summed it up. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Chair, you know, we could go on and on. We could go from slide to slide to slide, and each one is slide 40. If I look at the explanatory notes on the water infrastructure development, explanatory notes. One of the projects, the deviations, Umzumbubu. If I look at what's given on page 40 and I look at page 39, they differ. There's so many contradictory, giving so much contradictory information in these reports. And to sit and go back from one to the other is actually very, very frustrating when you see how much is misreported. We are reporting that we've achieved objectives, but when you actually go through the documents, these objectives have not been achieved. And so I really, really question, again, the validity of information in these reports that we're getting from the department. Over and over again, we find too many discrepancies here. I don't know how we're going to tighten up on all these. And then the finalization, sorry, last one, of the policy, the draft National Mine Water Regulation Program. It says it took longer than it anticipated, affecting the achievement. Some of these reasons given is really so flimsy. It took longer than anticipated. I mean, that is not a valid reason, Chair. Can they tell us why was this? What was the initial target date? When will it be done? The kinds of reasons I'm not satisfied, Chair. I'm really, really, really distraught by this report. It's really a poor, maybe it is a reflection of what is actually the financial status of the department. If you look at how inaccurate this report, it really is perhaps a true reflection of the department. It's a mess.
Okay, that shall then be the round number one, and maybe just perhaps by way of an emphasis on two specific areas. I raised earlier on about the matter related to internal audit unit. Page 337 of the big document states that one of the recommendations of the audit committee talks about a need for that internal audit to deal with shortage of human resources and skills as a matter of essence. And also it goes further to talk specifically about a need to fill up a position called Chief Audit Executive as a matter of essence. Whether we have filled up all of this, understanding very well that we're dealing here with the 2016-2017, a lot shall have happened before, in between now and then. And perhaps a direct question on the matter raised by Mrs. Baker. War on liquor. Is it on ATP? And what is the budget?
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me start first with the differences we are having with AG on the matter that we've appealed. We've appealed on three matters. The first one is the TCTA and its rental expenditure and as well as food class. On the TCTA, to be honest, there should have never been a problem. The AG was not having enough time after we were supposed to have engaged with AG. On the 31st or 1st of August, he said he doesn't have time to reconsider the submission we're making. Hence is one of the things that we are raising. If you go back to previous years, we've never had that qualification. There's never been that. So it's a relationship issue with the AG, which I think it was a matter that was raised with them. And when we rectified, after their advice, when it was rectified, then the AG said, we don't have time. We must issue now the report. But on other matters, they had time to get the information. On the issue of irregular expenditure, we went out properly on the tender. In the tender for the panel of contractors to say our job mostly will definitely need the services on a continuous basis. What happened is that AG used another circular which only talks about procuring consultancy services without looking at the infrastructure environment. With CIDP, I was even with CIDP yesterday. Again, there is practice notes that are there, which I explained to AG. Go and don't only look at this circular that you are excited about. Go and check what CIDP does. CIDP has a framework, and that framework needs to be implemented. And in our appeal, we'll definitely have to prove to AG all what we are saying is there. It should have never been here. Logic would have been said, let us not even talk about it now. Let's clear first what is still outstanding so that we can therefore come together here with one voice, with one understanding. The issue of fruitless, just to give an example, I'm not giving all the examples. Fruitless, they take one project, they say because the budget is not there for the what you are constructing, you are holding the infrastructure, because there's no budget yet, according to us, it's fruitless, this building. Budget is not there. The moment the budget gets available, you continue with building your property. Again, it's about how we understand and interpret the issue of that. It's only one area we can go. There are different areas, which we're still waiting for AG to give us an opportunity to sit with them, to go through the same process, which is allowed, by the way. The same laws of AGSA allows a process where, when there is an appeal, for them to entertain the appeal. Not to say we are presenting and yet an appeal is there. It would have been nice when you come here, we all have sorted out these differences or misunderstanding. On the issue that has been raised on the...
I assume that you are taking notes. So you shall be expected to comment on any of this. Thank you.
And we have put a chair for them here. And the mic is here.
Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Chair, what I was saying, the chair, it would have been nice that the appeal should be entertained. We should sit with them so that we don't have this issue here at this forum. That when we come, if we are wrong, in our interpretation, we'll definitely raise our hands and say we're wrong. And then we can have an action plan when you don't know what your problem is. Hence, when we have agreed with them, like for instance, they've raised the issue of the asset under construction, we have definitely said it is an issue, and hence we are developing or implementing an action plan. They are there to assist government, all of us, to give us it. It's not about I want to gain, according to me, I feel, and this is my personal feeling, Chair. I feel that, I want to get these people. Or I feel there is too much noise in the media. No, there's too much noise in the media about this department.
Chairperson, sorry, just for intervention. We're dealing with an entity of a department. But we expect that they, as you present the view of the entity. And just put aside your personal views. It's on record here. And you're talking on behalf of them.
I apologize.
Do I hear Mr. Chauke to be talking about your feeling, how you feel?
I'm not going to talk about
how you feel. your feeling.
Medical next
week.
The question is about the action plan. Definitely, immediately after we get the agreement, if that was agreement to me, that the action plan will be provided. The issue about drop the block and the one hit. We have cost, I don't want to, I can only use what is in here, but we have spent more than what is in here in some cases. I think it's on page, if you look at under page 393, if you look at CDB, those institutions that are part of us, the under CDB, under energy sector, some of those costs, the CDB is mostly the cost to deal with the drop the block for the 2 years, and the I'm referring to 26.2.8 chair and 26.2.9, which is about the one for the warning. However, if they say, because this is not inclusive of particularly on the one leaks, we can provide a detail in terms of the exact amount. I don't want to say a figure, but the total figure that besides what is there. For now, I'll say those costs are the costs that we have. If you say energy sector, the 210 million in the 2016 and the 2017 is there, 577 million. If you add both of those, that will be the cost, but there are more costs to them as we are continuing the project. Then the interest accrued. The interest accrued. I was explaining, member, to say we collect money as WTE for projects that are executed by TTA. TTA goes and borrows
my principal apologies, sir. I got to serve, but I want to tell you here. I was very keen on the line of response on the one with. I didn't adequately get that one.
No, the one leaks, I'm saying, Chair, the cost that I can confirm now without other costs, because the project is on one leaks is still continuing, I can give the detailed cost of from beginning to now how much have we spent. Because remember, we here in the financials, we're only looking at 2 comprehensive years. But I can give the total cost, we can submit the answer for this. And I'm saying part of the cost is under that note. If you look at that note under 26.2.9 of the big report, it's included at page 393. But I'm saying it is not all the cost, because we're using ECTA, we're using rainwater as part of the expenditure that we have, but I can give you a full report in terms of that. And I'm saying on CDBank, luckily also even the whole amount that is there in this 4-1 week in our book, that's the same page 393. That's 26.2.8. But I'm saying I can give a full report cost to say how much and for all since we started to where we are.
There are two specific questions on this specific one. Is it on APP? And what is the budget? Not what has been spent, what has been the budget?
Sure, the budget for the year under 2016-17 was under correction, but it was almost a billion for 1 week. And for Dr. Block, it was about 200, 300, but I can confirm those figures. It was budgeted for. On the APP, yes, it might not necessarily appear on the APP.
That's not our goal. How do we spend money that we did not budget for? Yeah, saying it might not have been
in the APP.
Yeah.
APP chair, in the APP, any APP of any department will not have all the expenses linked to each and every target that is there. You have certain targets that will have the budget, you will have certain things that the department do, which might not necessarily be on the APP.
Maybe to follow up with the point made by the chair, where do you locate these war on leaks in your programs? And where do you get this money from? I think the point that the chair is making is where do you get this $1.1 billion from? And how do you account for that $1.1 billion? We are now dealing with your annual report, you have spent $1.1 billion. Where you are seated there, you are not in a position to give us information. You may want to submit it at some point. The committee wants it and wants it now. And that's how we do oversight. We need it now, we do what we must do. We want it and we want it now. We have an office, we have staff, you tell the office before that we can do it. If we are not able to deal with this thing, how difficult is it going to be for us to process a program that is not there, it's not in your big document. It's supposed to reflect. Because you're spending money into that thing, and big money in fact, Nathan, it's not 86,000 rand, you're spending a billion rand on something that is not in the thing. How do we hold you accountable?
Thank you, Chair. War on Leaks program is an intervention by the department to prevent the water losses. At the beginning of financial year, it was anticipated that we lose plus or minus 7 billion worth of water. So as an intervention, that a small percentage of the revenue that is collected through the entity should be used to prevent this loss. What we have not yet quantified is the amount of intervention that we have done today to say how much have we saved from the initial baseline figure of 7 billion that we started with. In terms of bringing it on the APP of the current financial year, yes, it is because also it's a decision in the department in terms of its location. Because previously it was funded through the revenue that was made through the entity. The money that we collect for the bulk users through the where municipalities are located, because these leaks happen in municipalities. So in terms of bringing it online, in terms of the APP, yes, it will be on APP now because we have sort of an indication in terms of where, in terms of the 27 distressed municipalities, the most prioritized municipalities, in terms of assistance that the department is bringing. So it might not be in the APP of the entity in the year under review, but in the current financial year, yes, it will be in the APP.
You see, Chair, we can excuse Mr. Keith. but we cannot choose the contact. The minister is sitting next to you. If you can go to a speech since 2014, she was talking about it. And how is it on the APT? Wow, that happened, it's not on the APT. It can't, minister, it can't. We've been debating about it, supporting you. It can.
Sorry,
Chair,
and the doctor
block
as well,
please. Can I speak first before we get the minister? Maybe she'll respond. No, I was saying, Chair, that maybe before the minister comes in, and this is an executive pronouncement. For you to implement, you'll have to put it in a program. You'll have to allocate resources for it. Cannot be, by the way, if you raise money there. This is public money that you're dealing with, by the way. You can't just say, wake up and say, now we have a saving there, just move that money, pay that in there. Can't. When I refuse, Chair, to accept that particular explanation, it means that there must be accountability of that money. You have to bring a detailed report of the money spent in that program. Someone will have to account for it, and nobody else except yourself. The minister makes it, I always emphasize this point, always, that the minister does not get involved in your procurement and all of that. The accounting officers are the ones who deal with such matters. Now, you have spent 1.1 billion, then you cannot account for it. So I think that, Chair, that they will have to get the report on war on leagues. So there are people who are appointed to deal with war on leagues, employed and get paid every month. So you have to give us a report. Before we adopt anything here, we have to get that report, because that political pronouncement is being implemented and someone will have to account for it. And it cannot be the minister that accounts for things that are being stated. Can't.
That shall also take into account the drop a block program. Okay, we have a we definitely have, you sorry Mr. You wanted to say something, sorry. This is my meeting.
Chair, thank you very much. I think what we'll do, precisely because it's contained on page 393 of this report, we would then have to get the department to give us a detailed accounting of the money that has been spent on it, because it has been a situation that when the water trading entity generates revenue, and out of that revenue, you identify areas that seek intervention within a particular financial year, as honourable members are raising, you then are able to deal with those interventions. And my take, therefore, is that that's why it's reflected here that we have had CDA, we have had EW CETA working on these particular projects together with Rainwater and the memorandum of understanding existing between the three. How then the money was populated to reach this total, I think the department will be able, we can bring that information to break down exactly how did we come at an amount of what is reflected in terms of the cost on war on leaks. The same as drop a block, which was an emergency intervention on dealing with water savings during the peak of the drought. I'm sure we can be in a position to also come in and account, as it is reflected also in our documents here, because these were activities that were not necessarily earmarked to be our annual performance, but they were kicked up as interventions that have to be made. And the war on leaks had to be now rolled out in view of the fact that we continue to lose water, and correctly so, because it could not be a once-off intervention of saying, let's go and save the leaks for this period. It has now been programmatized to then be on the program of the department, and I do agree that the department would then have to come in and demonstrate why now it has become a program of a department rather than a short-term intervention. Because I think that's what we should be in a position to explain, that ideally it could have been a short-term intervention whilst municipalities are dealing with their incapacities, but with the situation on the ground, it has to be a three-year program that then deals with water, no longer even water saving, but part of water conservation and mitigation. Thank you.
I'm chairing the meeting now. The chair is going outside for a short break.
There were other questions.
Yes, there are more questions.
But
we have not closed that part. I think as we make a final recommendation on war on leaks, we'll have to emphasize a particular recommendation that we'll have to put on the committee. And I think we will note that part, but we'll have to come back and make a recommendation. Do you want to make a follow-up on that?
Yes, this is clarification. How do we programmatize something that we have not yet been able to quantify the success of? What is the rationale behind this?
Can someone explain this?
This is wrong,
Chief. No. Just take us serious. We are in the meeting of Parliament. Just take us serious. Repeat your question now.
Thank you, Chief.
CFR
earlier indicated that they are not yet able to quantify the success of the War on Leaks program. So what justification is there for programmatizing the program which has not previously been budgeted for or appeared on the ACP and cannot be quantified at this stage?
Thank you, Chair. No, it can be quantified.
No. Can we respond? The question is that the program is not quantified. That's the point that you're making.
I'm defining the point that was made earlier.
Respond to you so that you can then be able to move forward.
I was trying to respond to you and you stopped me.
Carry on.
Yeah. I'm saying what we've not quantified is the actual impact in terms of the water losses that we've made. But the program since it started, we can quantify how many learners have we taken to the program and can I finish?
Yeah, carry on. Why me? Not to anything. Just you are answering your question there.
Yeah, so all that we can make it available in terms of quantification of that we have done. The one I was talking about in terms of the monetary figures of the 7 billion baseline that we started with, to say of that, how much have we actually made the savings. But in terms of quantification of all other programs that are within this program, we can quantify all the work that has been done. So the ultimate is a saving, but there are a lot of sub-programs or sub-activities that we do to achieve the ultimate in terms of the water savings.
Okay, let me give Honorable, I think it's still on the same question. I'm going to give Honorable Basson Bopezulu, followed by Umamu. Mamkaula, yes, Mamkaula.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Quick question to the department and to the AG. Why is this 1.2 billion not taken up? The amount was mentioned 1.2 billion. Why is it not taken up in the audited book? So can we get clarification on that? Both the department and the AG.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. No, I just wanted to slot it in whilst we are discussing this question of water loss. The question of your sporadic drought eventualities. I should think we need to accommodate that as well. Because say for instance, if you are having a budget in your annual performance plan, then fortunately enough, we don't have a drought in that particular financial year, then you can be able to utilize that money on your service delivery programs, rather than taking the money which is meant for service delivery to your sporadic drought eventualities. So I'm saying, Chair, we need to take into account even that particular kind of a challenge.
Mam Kaula?
Nibong is love. Obama love and two words like salute him. Who's a sister man who called on Benzinton? Nanny is mad as a 7 day. Who's a sister man of a lap of cars, monkey, a peg is into a zonka as in the automatic cocker jack and crack. Ayikho into ebambekayo kuyona ngoba into ekhulunywa la phezulu njengoba kuhleli lana la i-office ma ngabe usuhamba uyaphansi akukho nogodwa okubonayo okubuya khona kugculisa ukuthi nako minister ngikhulu ngelembulo yakho sihlala ngiyazi kuzokuphatha kabi. Kuney'nkinga masesiya kuma-oversight ozibonayo ukuthi iy'mali ziphumile, ziphumile lezomali kodwa zisebenzanga phansi. Wonke la maplani noma yonke le nto ezinhle ekade besitshela zona la azikho phansi uma sufikile. Even kuyimanje abantu njengoba ngikhuluma nawo amanzi abanawo. Lo mnyango ngokwami ngibona uhlulekile ukuyisa intuthuko kubantu noma ingqalazinto kubantu.
Okay, Mam Khawula, so uyayivala wena manje, asike yayivali, sayixoxa.
Ngiyaxoxa impela baba, sorry mkhulu.
Okay.
Ngokwami, bengifuna ukwazi ukuthi ngoba amanzi vese ayizimpilo zabantu. Abalulekile abantu bathole amanzi. Ngabe lokhu ukukwehluleka komnyango na ngoba ukubanika amanzi kuyilungelo labo ngabe igunya lokuthi ngabe kule nto lokhu kubanikeza igunya yini abantu njengomphakathi bakuthathe lolu daba balidlulisele phambili enkantolo emnyangweni osithethosisekelo ngiyabonga.
I think we got the point. I think you want it's an IP. Okay, IP and put in the speed just.
My question, you know, or my grab relates to the long discussions we frequently hold and how budgets have been spent. But I'm beginning to see how are people on the ground are benefiting out of this because their plight is quite visible to everyone. I strongly feel that there is no tangible evidence or relationship between what the department claims and the improvement of people's lives. Lastly, Chair, if the basis of the work of the department is to ensure service delivery through the entire water value chain, there appears to be a huge mismanagement in the department which impacts on the rights of water as enshrined in the Constitution. Therefore, is this not just the basis for the citizens to take the issue to the Constitutional Court? Thank you.
Back to the chair, please.
We were at a point where Mr. Mpukeng was responding to a number of questions. And then there was an interjection on this specific matter that relates to water. You also would have had the Office of the Auditor General commenting on some of the issues raised by Mr. Mpukeng and the department generally. Now that he has just left, I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss Because even if we were to allow the AG's office to respond, Mr. Mofokeng will still be needing to listen and take the process forward. You must guide me, Minister DG.
Chair, I want to propose that, with your indulgence, that we also respond. There are almost 12 other questions that were raised, other than what has been responded to, that we also afford the other members of the team to respond on those issues that have been raised there. Then we can still come back to the issues that were raised that are related to WTE, as well as to the war leaks and the proper block in particular. And then the additional 5 questions that have just been raised now by Honourable Member Kaula and Honourable Kalo, and then I would suggest that we then get the team then to take us through on those responses, with the infrastructure people also getting into it.
So just one minister, just to allow Mr. Mufukin just to conclude on the issues that he was dealing with, and then he can follow. Because we interjected on a specific matter that related to war on this, because you were still continuing, and then we have to draw you back to that one.
From my side, the war leaks had not a block. The interest accrued, that was the one that I was, I don't know if this, the one that was the one that I was trying to explain about the TTA, as well as how we relate and how the financials are. Just to come back to what I was saying, TTA, it's our implementing, it's our special purpose vehicle to implement our project. They go and borrow money on our behalf, and that money, before they borrow, we enter into uptake agreements with whoever, which are the users, and those uptake agreements makes us to bill the customers, so the customers pay us. When they pay us, we don't go back and pay TCA to close their loans that they have. Now, what we are talking about here, it is the interest post issues about how TCA, when they go out borrow money, they have to start using that money in terms of implementing the projects that they are implementing. And that's why we now are talking about timing difference. I don't know how to put it in a very simpler way, but it's the timing difference of when that money actually gets to be spent on a specific project. So if a project delays or whatever, there's a change, it changes then the model that they use in line with the AG8 standard. I think, I don't know if AG can explain to you properly, but all I was trying to do it was to say, what is the difference? Because if you look at the figures in 2016 to 2017, the figures have jumped from 742, if you look at interest accrued, to 4.6 billion. Now, because of this Lesotho, the AMD long-term project, to say when the money are they getting, how are they're amortizing whatever that interest that is there. So it's an accounting treatment. Yeah.
Okay. You want to come in at this point, because I think this is that's where they are most relevant, unless you feel that they
no.
can.
No. There are still other issues to respond to.
Still, that would require comment from.
Yes.
Oh, okay, no, that's fine. Continue.
Thank you very much. I'm going to allow my colleagues from the PMU to extend from corporate planning exactly the percentages, but I'm just going to comment generally on the performance of Program 3, because what we have here is not the same as what AG has indicated. And I think the reasons are primarily emanating from the fact that during the drought, during the year under review, we are going through a serious drought. It has been reported on several occasions that you wake up in the morning and minister is being asked to go and intervene, and we had to intervene. The 114 that was asked, why was it given to CGB? It was exactly because we had to go and intervene in Northwest. CGB was assisting us. At some stage, some of the municipalities were struggling. Water was not coming out of the tap. It was a question of whether the department keeps quiet and then people then go without water, or she had to take a decision that we have to go and intervene. And we did intervene in those instances. So the performance of Program 3 is primarily is poor because of drought, but also the capacity of municipalities. And I think these are the issues that we requested at some stage, and I remember the committee had indicated that we do need a meeting with COGTA, because some municipalities are having this function, but they cannot do the function. And it is a question of saying, you then ignore when the water is not coming out of the tap, or you call your construction unit in the middle of the night to go and intervene, because sometimes people are already up in arms. But when it comes to project specific, I'm going to take the committee through all the areas where the projects were disturbed by other issues besides the drought and the issue of the lack of operation and maintenance by some municipalities in the country that we are still currently experiencing. Under the Sidibeng one, the Sidibeng Air Park Regional Water, it has been announced that we were going to go wide on a very wide big capacity wastewater treatment work in that area of Sidibeng. And we had already planned. We had already started with phase one, but it was then discovered whilst we're busy with the implementation of phase one that perhaps we are too ambitious, because we're looking at a plus or minus 4 billion for us to be able to complete the whole Sidibeng scheme. Maybe we are a bit ambitious. We could upgrade the Lukiel and Risprate plant. And we then sat down as the teams from the local government, from the provincial government, we all agreed that perhaps let's look at this cheaper option, because there is no 4 billion. And this issue of the 4 billion is coming in the midst of budgets that are also being cut. I think that's one of the reasons of poor performance of Program 3 and us not being able to be steady in the way we had projected our milestone. The issue of drought, the capacity of municipalities, but also Program 3. We started the year with a quarter of the other financial year plus budget cuts. Now, you had to get into the year and cut in other projects for you to be able to achieve what you wanted to achieve. The challenge is that now you had to choose in projects that where you're already on site. You could not pull out when you're already on site, because when you're already on site, it becomes more costly because there's machinery that is on site and so forth. So now you have budget cuts, you are already on site. Now we had to say in other instances, those that are not yet on site, don't go on site because there's drought, there are budget cuts. So quite a large amount of money was diverted to other projects that we had not planned for. The issue of the desalination, it was not there in the beginning of the financial year, but because the economy of Richards Bay was going to go down, and it was a question of saying, you left with 22 days, you have to go and intervene. So we had to do those things. It is not that the money was not spent on projects. The money, we had budget cuts, we had accruals that we had to deal with, and we had the issue of the municipalities. That is still going to continue, unfortunately, because municipalities, we haven't dealt with the source of the problem. The source of the problem is, have we asked ourselves whether
most of these, all of these municipalities with the water service authority function are they able to do what they are supposed to be doing. And where, unfortunately, I don't know whether fortunately, minister, but she is the one who gets called because she, according to the constitution, she has to oversee the whole value chain. Now, when there is a problem on the ground, it's our minister that has to respond through us. So problem three, yes, there are challenges in other areas like Emalahleni. Emalahleni, it is common knowledge. In construction law, you will also see that there will always be challenges with the issues of variations. And in some instances, contractors would want you to just wake up and adopt their variation without proper inspection. Now, like Emalahleni, the project was on hold due to contractual and financial challenges. Now, the minute we have said we'll do five, and then there's a contractor who's saying, no, I've got an issue with the view. Then it becomes four. Then that's when it becomes four. And in terms of percentages, then that becomes very glaring in your APP. And unfortunately, sometimes it's things that we can't always deal with. And then the issue of the Western Highveld water supply scheme. The issue of Western Highveld, we were already ready to go and implement. Here comes the situation to say, really, because this is a cross-border scheme that cuts across three provinces, to whom does this project really belong to? And we then had to make decisions during the year when the APP was already in place to say, okay, let us then move, to have discussions amongst the three provinces to say, let us then move the Western Highveld scheme to Mpumalanga. And that those discussions, when they're happening, unfortunately, the APP does not wait for you. Then all those things that impact on your progress on the APP. The issue of Matatiele. Matatiele, the contractor just could not perform. And in some instances, we find that we are not even ourselves that are implementing. It is the municipalities or it is our entities, the water board. In cases where it's the municipalities, you can't go and intervene when there's a contractual dispute. Remember, they are implementing agents. There's an MOU between ourselves and them. So when there's a contractual dispute or where the contractor is not performing, you then can't do it. You have to follow DORA prescript. DORA will say, take time, ask them why they are not performing, give them this data. It is outlined clearly in DORA. So by the time you are able to implement your DORA wholly, all the prescripts of DORA, then it has hit you on the APP. But what we were doing, whilst we were other projects were getting delayed, we did move funds to other projects, especially the ones that, especially the drought areas. The Sundays River one. The Sundays River one, we went out on tender. We had an allocation. The engineers had budgeted so much. Come all the bids, there is no bid that is the same, that is low, that is at the level of the budget. Now, the implementing agent says, no, I have 50 million, and the bids, they all came at around 60, 70 million. Now, I can't commit. Now, it has to go back to departmental processes because then it will become a variation because the DG would have approved a certain amount of the budget. That is what happened in San Luis River. And with another challenge that we are also facing, which then goes back again to whether perhaps the delivery model of the water infrastructure program is the correct one, is the instances where under RBIC project, co-funding, some municipalities must co-fund. You go on site, you wait for the municipality to co-fund, there is no funding that is coming through. The municipality does not have money. You are in the middle of the project. And it is even still, we have raised it to the treasurer, and we were hoping the treasurer could say, perhaps allow them to use, that was our proposal, allow them to take MIG funds, then so that they can use MIG funds for co-funding. Treasurer said no, because some of these municipalities, it's not that they do not have money, but because they've got access to their books. It's not that they don't have money.
they forget, perhaps they are not using, directing the money where they are supposed to be directing. Now, those projects where we need co-funding, they would have been in your APP, like the Renault thing. And there are quite a lot of them, even the RAS. Some of them we had to stop in the meeting because there is no co-funding. So those are the challenges. We're not saying that we are doing well with Program 3, but my appeal to the committee is that perhaps after this, let's go to the sources of this problem. The sources, as I've indicated, drought, we can't control it. But the issue of the water service authority status of some of the municipalities and the, vis-a-vis the position that the minister is occupying in the value chain, whether who really under the circumstances is supposed to be here today, who's supposed to be responding to the issues that we are not performing because we had to go and intervene. COPTA is not here, but they are responsible for municipalities. Thank you, sir. I'm going to end. But my colleagues, in terms of the percentages where there is no alignment between AG percentages and our percentage, I'm going to allow my colleagues to comment.
Can we have Petunia and her team then to deal with the issues of the feeder, and then they would come back then to SPISO to then deal with all the other issues. Wendy, you didn't respond to the issues that were raised earlier on infrastructure, such as what has been raised on the non-performance of some of the water infrastructure development programs raised by Honorable Makhabane, as well as the issues that were raised that are outside of the One Leaks and Drop a Block that are related to your other projects, such as your infrastructure projects, your mega infrastructure projects.
Maybe, Chair, what important is that there's a dispute with regard to targets, both between the Auditor General and the Department. We'll have to get a clear understanding of what is the position. But having listened to the input made by the DDG responsible for infrastructure, 99% of the budget has been spent. You have not gone detailed into how you have shifted money, and that money that has been shifted in detail, how much has been shifted to what programs. The issue of drought comes in, and I think all of us have dealt with the issue of drought well. But here, at this point here, we have to be informed as to, in the report, so much money was used for drought, moving from the program 3, is 12 billion rand. If you have achieved 28% as the AG says, what happened to the rest of the money? How that money was achieved? That's the report that we're supposed to be engaging on. For us to be able to say, even the shifting of money, the partnership between the department and parliament becomes very critical. There's an agreement, the partnership between yourself and parliament of the allocation per program. Now we shift the money in the program, it's emergency. That's how we understand that part. The thing that we even raised not long ago was that Treasury had to take responsibility of the work that has been done by the department. I thought on that note, Minister will be able to share with us that on the issues of drought, we end up spending so much money. It's not our work. We're not budgeting for drought in the department. I mean, the part of the budget that we have. That becomes the responsibility of Treasury, government itself, you know, what's called the national disaster, whatever. How do we deal with such matters? Because here we have to speak to the 12 billion rand allocated to a program. I think a DDG, just, you may not have it now, but you may even be able to refer us to it. Your fruitless and wasteful expenditure that the AG identified emanates from this shifting of money. And we must be able to defend that space from your side to say, we have shifted this money for the following reason, so much money was shifted to this particular program. And that program will then be accounted for. Wherever that money has been shifted to, we'll have to take responsibility and account for that money. Because the exercise that we are doing here is accountability. We have to know each and every cent that is being allocated. What happened to it? It's the end of the year. We are dealing with the final report where is the money gone to? Allocated is 12 billion. We have spent, we are sitting at 28% target. And that dispute had to be resolved. AG must be able to tell us how do they arrive at 28%. But what is important, Chair, will be for us to be able to follow the money. What happened to the money? Where did this money end up? I think that what is important for all of us.
Yeah. On the attempted members to allow a flow of information with responses from the department and allowing the AG's office to make comments, the pace in which we are moving, we are likely going to be here until 8 o'clock in the evening. Granted, I was listening to Mr. Chalke here whispering. We have the whole day to ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do it.
And we also have dinner here.
Fine.
That we are going to miss at home. let's just allow, we shall come back on the RFQ hand. Let's allow the department to come through so that we allow the AG's office to make the necessary comments. Who knows? Some of the questions you might be having might be responded to by the AG's office. Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see how it goes. I don't know. I'm not the one who must tell who must speak now.
So, I'm going to complete the infrastructure report on the mega project. Mzimbubu was flagged as also, but it's also more on the discrepancy because Mzimbubu is appearing twice. It's appearing on blend. That's why I was leaving it to my colleagues because they are the ones who explain. There's a blend Mzimbubu and there's a blend and there's a Mzimbubu under construction. That is how we had projected last financial year. With the hope that we would have completed the design for advanced ways, then we go under construction. But the Mzimbubu will still appear under plan even this financial year because it is still under design. Ilalini, we have completed in Dabelang. Ilalini Dam is still under design. So if it's still under design, they will then put it under plan. So it then appears under two indicators, but they are the ones who can explain it better. Remember, Mahawane, but I thought your question was asking whether does this money then eventually go to the people benefiting from this? I mean, much as we did not spend, but I can let you say part of the money went to Giani. We had to intervene in Giani as in the other financial year. And it's one of those projects where we can really say that there is at least some infrastructure on the ground. People are getting water. If you look at Giani, the budget of Giani at the beginning of the financial year, vis-a-vis what was eventually spent, you will see that we spent far much more than what we had initially projected. That was one of the reasons why we had to shift the budget. Because when we realized that, which is a norm in infrastructure development, when there's a project, when there are projects that are not moving, and there's a project that is moving, instead of taking the money back to National Treasury, rather put the money where the project are moving, because at least you have completed one area. And that is the approach that we are toying around with COPSA to say, perhaps we also need to be focusing on particular areas. 1-2 years, one area, you get it, you finish and you move. Because yes, we are trying to be everywhere and making sure that everybody is happy, but then the impact is not very felt. And it's not that also the money is only the 30% left is on the ground. There is those that are partially achieved. If the partially achieved, you may find that even by the time that AG reported, that partially achieved would have achieved it. But because of our, that's why I wanted our colleagues to explain from corporate planning. But because I did not have one document Baba, corporate spending would say, no, you have not achieved. That is the challenge that sometimes we come across with. It's not that even the ones that are not achieved, that there is nothing on the ground. There is something on the ground. It may not be the milestone that we would have agreed upon. But people are getting water. Like in Kiani, as we are saying, people are getting water in Kiani. And people are getting water in Richards Bay. And those were primarily projects that were not budgeted for. Kiani, we had very little budget at the beginning of the financial year. This time, we had nothing. So I do feel like perhaps the committee is worried about the service delivery, and they think that the money does not go to people. But I don't want to assure the committee that when it comes to infrastructure program, there are prescripts, there is dollar prescripts, the money does go to people. But as to how it reaches them, sometimes then it is a problem. And I do agree that there are challenges that we have to deal with when it comes to that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to respond to the question related to the manage, how the report is not responding to the targets, the objectives. I want to start by indicating that on the presentation, there is a slide 8 where we were indicating the overview of the planning changes that we had to effect in the 1617. In line with how the strategic goals, the strategic objectives, and then the targets are aligned. I will come back to that to show you how that is reflected in the annual report. So firstly, you would have those strategic objectives that are aligned to your NDP and the MTSF, which is 5 years. And then on the strategic objectives, say on slide 14, where it was indicated that we reported for program 3 that the performance is 67, that is where we are reporting against the strategic objectives, which in the normal slide that we always project on the alignment of objectives and the goals is a summary of what the performance on strategic objectives. Then the next question was, what is the annual performance of the department? If we go to slide 21 of the presentation, we did indicate that the annual performance of the department is for main account, we achieved 50%, for trading is 75%. I just need to unpack a little bit. On this one, the difference with the strategic objectives that here now we've gone on a lower level. We are responding to the targets. To amplify what I'm saying, I would request that if members could go to, for example, page 42 of the annual report, just to show you how what we've depicted on the different percentages is then reflected in in each program. If you allow me, on page 42, for example, that strategic objectives we were giving and I was indicating what is at a high level would be this about on page 42. There's a number of them that are listed there as the first one. Then on the second one is just the achievement. Then for the 16-17, that's the target. Those 16-17 target is the one that informed the 50% achievement. And then it would then show you the actual achievement for that year and the deviation. Where on the slides that we presented on what we achieved, that is unpacking. So the difference between how we report as a department and how the AG has reported, that's the best. That's the explanation. The 67%, I touched on it. I think it is those slide 8, slide 14, and slide 21, there's a difference. The progress would not be the same because on the other, the first one is strategic objectives, on the other is the target, which informs the annual performance. Honourable Chair, I will respond to the four issues that were raised on the regulation range. I think two of them were raised by Mrs. Baker and two by Honourable Macomber. The first one was around the establishment of catchment management agencies in the country, the delays in achieving the target of three. The reason for the delay is that there was a review of the institutional model. When we started in 2004, the National Water Resource Strategy, we conceptualized that there will be 19 catchment management areas in the country. But we reviewed that and we came up with 9. Mm-hmm. And last financial year, due to the rationalization of entities that are reporting to the minister, and in line with the presidential vision and objective of rationalizing entities, we have reviewed the 9 and we have now made a decision that we will have a single water resource entity in the country that is responsible for water resource management. But the fact that we are moving from 9 to 1, it doesn't mean that local water resource management is not going to happen. We are still going to have 9 water management areas where communities participate, where the pollution and river monitoring is happening. And in the last financial year, as you can see, we were able to monitor 66 rivers in the country. So the local water monitoring is happening, and the participation of communities is happening. As you are aware, Mrs. Baker, all the water resource forums that are happening in the country are actively participating or making decisions around water resource management. So what has changed is only the governance, that we cannot have about 9 entities, public entities, each with a chief executive and a board managing water resource management. And that we have been supported by National Treasury on that, because if you look at the economy, current economic climate, and the availability of funding from the national fiscal and also from the water trading entity, you can see that the funding is, we do not have a lot of money currently from the national fiscal. So we are saying that it's only the government and the institution, but at a local level, the 9 water management areas, they will remain to function. We have learned from the 2 catchment management agencies, the Inkomati and Briede, although they have done well, but if you look at the revenue collection, as the CFO has reported, you can see that we haven't been above 50%. Which means if we establish other 9 entities, and yet in terms of revenue collection, we are still very low, it's going to be a challenge in terms of the financial sustainability of the entity. And so this is where we are with the catchment management agencies. In terms of the infrastructure agency, Honorable Baker, I think you have heard the challenges that we have in terms of developing infrastructure in the country. We have a lot of investment in our infrastructure, but in terms of operations and maintenance, things are not going well. So the idea is to have a 1 national infrastructure agency where all the infrastructure is developed, it's financed, and it's operated and maintained at a national level. And therefore, we will not only depend on the national fiscal, that in agency we will be able to go to the markets and to borrow and add the money in terms of in terms of what is currently available, and we won't be able to have a lot of centers of infrastructure development. You will have a national infrastructure agency that is building and bringing all of this, and it will be able to kickstart and ensure that the economy and the social development is also taken care of.
We have had in the past some documents, but we are now developing a due diligence for this entity, because it is a requirement of National Treasury that in terms of you need to develop a due diligence that is going to be submitted by Minister to Infrastructure to National Treasury. So I think within a year, through the minister, we will finalize the due diligence, and therefore we need the second year we need to develop a business case, and so I think that is through the minister. That's what I can say in terms of the agency. Honourable Becker, in terms of the VNV, we didn't do well. It's something that we are the validation and verification of water users. We did not do well on that one. It's something that we are focusing on. We have improved in terms of the, we had a consultant that did not do well in terms of the performance, and we terminated that consultant. But some of the issues, the blockages, are going to be addressed in the current revision of the National Water Act, like the existing lawful water user, because you require, in terms of Section 35(2), you require that you visit them, and then you send them registered notice if you want to review the existing lawful use. And in terms of the mine water policy program, yes, there have been delays, but this is a new program that we started in the country after the exit mine drainage in Gauteng, and we underestimated what was expected of the program, and because it has got three pillars. The first pillar is that we did not have a policy around mine water policy, mine water management, and subsequently we have developed a draft policy. It has been consulted widely in the country. I think there have been roadshows all over, and we are hoping that it's going to be gazetted by October. So I think that then it will enable us to move forward. The assessment of the catchment and the mitigation strategies is continuing. And the third pillar is around the technology, where we are working with water research. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I finished.
So the legislation is coming in October.
No, not the legislation, Chair, the policy on mine water policy. It's the policy, not the legislation.
And when is the legislation coming before Parliament?
But you did mention it.
I'm deliberately smuggling.
Are the new legislation?
Let's allow the Office of Auditor General to make all the necessary comments.
One last still coming, Chair. This point is really important. Can I just make them?
Okay.
The AG in his audit work identified three infrastructure projects, and he has made a finding on those programs. I want to hear what is your view on those programs that the AG has targeted and has made a finding, and I think you concur or you don't concur with the finding of the AG into those things.
Which statement?
No, the statement. The three, I mean, in your engagement, obvious. Let's say, at the conclusion of the annual report, in the process you work with the AG throughout, until the final, you are aware that he has identified 10 projects, key projects that he has identified, randomly so. And the point I'm making, therefore, is that what is your view of those problems? No? She's not in the department.
Those are the projects, not with regulations.
So I thought that after how DDG Mateo spoke, she was referring them to sort of, or maybe DDG Mateo, you may have to respond on that, part, because they're very important, this point that I'm making, because I don't want us to be scattered. I want us to deal with what the AG has raised, rather than bringing other new things that we may want to bring them at some point, but to be specific, because of the dispute that we have picked up between the AG and yourself, the view I was trying to understand, solicit minister, is the view on this following 10 key identified, randomly identified project that the AG has worked on. And I just wanted to hear your view on them.
Okay, what we shall do, we shall allow the Office of the General, who will also take into account this specific issue will be related to some of the matters raised by Mr. Mufuking, as to why and how the Department of Justice and Energy is objecting to some of the findings that you've been okay, so far you also covered the issue of the
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Minister, Honourable Members, good afternoon, colleagues from the Department and other colleagues. I know Chairperson said we must deal with responses pointed in a pointed and consistent manner, but I'd like to also just maybe deal with two procedure issues which are quite critical in our response with regard to the objections and also with regard to the actual process of the audit itself. Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Minister, Honourable Members, when we conduct our audit, we issue what we commonly refer to as a communication of findings. So our audit, and I will pick up, this is how something is supposed to be recorded. We pick up that it's not. We issue a finding to management for management to respond to it. Okay, so management can either produce additional information to refute the finding, or management accepts the finding. And once management accepts the finding, then we move on. But where there's disagreement, management refutes the finding, but there's no evidence, we have to assess what is on the table. So for example, if we have evidence indicating that a particular transaction should be recorded in a particular manner and management refutes it, but there's no evidence that's been brought to support management's view, then we continue to conclude the audit because we've obtained sufficient audit evidence as required by the auditing and accounting standards. So from that point of view, even if there is a dispute, if the dispute is not supported by supporting evidence, then we will proceed to close off the audit. But as part of the audit process, we also engage management throughout. So we have what we commonly refer to as our audit steering committee meeting, whereby on a regular basis we come with and we have a meeting with management within the organization. We take stock of all the findings that have been issued. How far are we in terms of responses? How far are we in terms of submission of information? Is it really an issue? We deal with the contentious issues. We even go to the extent of writing to the accounting officer a correspondence which you can produce at the request of the portfolio committee, indicating to management what are the key issues at that particular stage of the audit. So because we don't expect the accounting officer to sit in all the steering committee meetings, more often than not it's attended by the CFO and the DDGs. So when we pick up there's an issue that needs to be elevated, we elevate throughout the audit. So we don't come on the 31st of July, we sign an audit report and they say there was no consultation. So that's as far as the audit process is concerned. As far as the actual dispute is concerned, and that's where Chairperson said we must deal with the process, but I'm going to make a comment here just to address this one particular issue of feelings as well. It is important to note that the CFO is raising certain disputes, but the CFO only came back to the department of the entity on the 28th of July. The CFO was also part of the delegation that was put on suspension. So before the CFO came back, there were no disputes raised by the management whom we were dealing with during the course of the audit process. I think that's important that we note that. If there was any unhappiness, we were not aware of it. Maybe the guys in that were there as part of that process were unhappy, but it was never communicated formally to us. We were in the process of finalizing our audit when the unhappiness arose on the last two or three days of the audit. So that's as far as that process is concerned. So then, when a dispute is raised, which is within everybody's full right to raise a dispute if you are unhappy, because we must sign off in terms of the audit. So if you are unhappy, there's a process whereby first we have to analyze the nature of the dispute. So the dispute questions both the ability of the auditors in terms of concluding on the audit based on the evidence, and it also then questions the conduct of the auditors in the team. So we then hand over the dispute or the request, the complaint, to our risk and ethics business unit. Our risk and ethics business unit has to do an assessment in terms of did we comply with the accounting and auditing standards, especially ISQC1, which deals with audit quality in terms of how the auditor is supposed to conduct themselves during the audit process. So that assessment has to be done. So it's not just looking at irregular expenditure, we come around, we sit around the table, because management has also cited concerns with regards to the conduct and saying they were not engaged enough before the conclusion was reached. So our office, which is the independent business unit dealing with our risks and ethics, then has to go and sit down and look at the evidence on the file, look at the minutes of meetings, how many times we engage, did we communicate these things upfront as required by the auditing standard. So they are busy currently now reviewing the file and to make sure that, you know, did we reach appropriate conclusions or not. So it's just basically, you know, it's not geared to achieve a certain outcome, it's just geared to ensure that the process was followed or not. So that process is still underway. So we cannot engage management, therefore, before that process has been finalized. Only once the process has been finalized, we can then start engaging management or the risk and ethics BU to engage management and understand full on what management's contention is, and then only can we start getting resolution on the project, so on the complaint. So the process is quite in an advanced phase, but that's just the two procedural, you know, the audit process and then also the complaints process, because I heard the CFO saying we were excitably coming here and briefing the portfolio committee. And the only reason why, also in conclusion of the process and the procedures, why we are here as the Office of the AG is because of the fact that the department and the entity have tabled their reports. So once they table their reports, they have to be considered by the portfolio committee, and then we have to come brief the portfolio committee for the BRRR process. We are not advocating for this. We don't feel it's the correct behavior, but Section 65 of the PFMA does allow for when the executive authority feels that we don't want to table the report because there's still an issue that needs to be resolved, that we don't table the report until that issue is resolved. So, like I said, we don't advocate for it, but certainly that avenue is available. But because the department is tabled, we are then obliged to come and also follow and comply with our processes. So, as far as the actual responses are concerned to the technical issues now, the first one I'll respond to is with regard to the interest which is accrued. Whilst the comment is made that it is an accounting entry, accrued therefore means that at some stage in the future you are going to need to repay the interest. So at year end, yes, it's an adjustment to make sure that we reflect in the correct balances, but at some stage I think the question that should be asked is it going to become payable, and if so, when? Then we can only determine the impact it will have on our budget. The second aspect of it then is the Warren leak versus the dropper block. Now, Honourable Chairperson, if you consider the magnitude and the size of the balances we deal with within the department and also within the entity, I think the infrastructure balance is about approximately 75 billion. So our audit threshold or our materiality is quite high in this regard. By the time we had picked up the dropper block and the Warren leaks, we had already selected our projects, so it didn't form part of our sample. However, we picked up the dropper block is reported in the annual report for expenditure not incurred in appropriately. I think it's on page 343. I'm speaking under correction. My colleague will just follow up. But whilst he follows up, from a WTE point of view, because expenditure was incurred at the entity, the Office of the AG reported the dropper block. As a matter of fact, it's on page 343 of the audit report of the annual report. So under paragraph 29. So the Warren leaks one, as a matter of fact, was also included from a WTE point of view. How the audit process works is because these guys, not these guys, with all due respect, the entities are two separate audit entities in their own right. That's why they've got two audit reports. So there's the department and then there's the water trading entity. So they have both of them have got their own independent audit processes that they follow with their own independent teams. So whilst, yes, it's the Office of the AG that's doing it and there's regular collaboration and coordination between the two teams, this Warren leak did not necessarily form part of the sample that was selected at Water and Sanitation. However, we already started flagging it at the WTE. They can confirm this because it was part of the communications that we communicated to them. The only challenge then also comes in, and this is why probably we also need to do some consultation, and I'm giving away some of our focus areas for the next coming year as well, but we may as well just start engaging on it. It has been identified as a key project for follow-up by the Office of the AG, because if you consider, the spending is done by WTE, but it's on instruction from the Department of Water and Sanitation. So they were claiming they're going to recover the money back because it's not in line with their mandate. So we have to consider unauthorized expenditure. What is the definition of unauthorized expenditure? I think Honorable Baker asked the question specifically to say, is it not unauthorized expenditure? So when one considers the definition of unauthorized expenditure in terms of the PFMA, it says it's an expenditure that was not in line with the mandate or the main vote of the department or there was overspending. So if one considers those two criteria, there was no overspending specifically on that because it's money that they're using that they are recovering from their normal fiscal process as indicated by the CFO. And then further to that also, there was one could argue that it's within the mandate of the department or the vote. So because of those technicalities, is some of the things that we are still following up on, but it has been identified as a key project. But it has already started being communicated to management. They can confirm that. We just could not confirm our consultation processes in time for us to be able to give a definitive answer in the audit report. But I think the committee should just rest assured that it has been identified by the AG as a key project going forward. Some of the challenges, and that will also go in line with the drought relief project that we're also facing, is exactly what has been communicated by management, which is a slight inability for us to get consolidated information of what is being spent on a particular project or a particular process. I think we flagged that, and that's also one of the key issues why the drought relief request that we've received is taking slightly longer than anticipated in terms of the investigation into this process and ensuring where the spending is happening. What we can relieve with a report with regard to the drought relief project is that the desalination plant that's been noted was reported as irregular expenditure, as also reported by or confirmed by National Treasury. They actually wrote to National Treasury to get a deviation approved, and Treasury did not agree with the reason, citing the same issue that it's a multi-year project, therefore it cannot be an emergency project in this regard. So that has been reported and cited as such. So we've dealt with the drought relief in terms of the lack of the amount and the... Then the performance indicators. Yes, the performance indicators, what management has articulated is right. So you have a program. Within a program, you could have three objectives. And within an objective, you could have maybe, let's say, 10 indicators. And each indicator may have more than one target, multiple targets. So we added up the targets within a particular program. The challenge that we have that we'd like to maybe note is you cannot have four or five targets in an objective, and you only achieve two or three, and yet you say you've achieved on the objective, because you have to achieve all your targets within that objective in order for you to say you've achieved the objective. Maybe that's just something worth noting. I apologize for putting petrol in the fire. If
no problem.
Okay. Okay. So those are the issues. We also had some. The detail with regard to the disputes. The actual detail, like the CFO started alluding to what was in this agreement, I would respectfully request the committee that we not deal with the specifics because it is still subject of the dispute process that's still underway. But from that point of view, I think we've dealt with the irregular, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I'd like to close that discussion by saying an appeal means something different to an objection. Objection means I don't agree.
Mm.
Yeah. So from that point of view, like I said, the objections were only raised quite late in the audit process and never throughout the audit process, as we've noted. I'll hand over to Stephen if there's anything he'd like to.
No, you've covered that. You've covered them because I was just detailing the specifics. So the specifics we can come to them after the process is completed.
Okay, thank you for that. Let's have one meeting with the members, if you don't mind. Thank you. Let's get to hear if any comments from the first.
Yeah, the chairperson, I think for now, let's, as you said, and I think AG is also supporting the idea that let's go back home and let's present our issues with them. Then after that, yes, we will come back on the very detailed issues that are there.
Okay. Any further wish I must say should be or not wrong?
There's a lot. They've not answered our
question. I don't know where this energy is coming from.
Guys, I forgot my mind.
Mr. Baker.
Mr. Biggs.
Mr. My neighbor is Baker. I'm looking at there. Mr. Chairperson, can we ask? The DDG has mentioned that the 12.08 billion on Program 3 have to entertain accruals, intervention, droughts, are big projects. It should be split up. We should know where that money went.
Mm.
I fully agree, and I stick with what the AG said, that they achieved 28%. But there is the other side of the coin, is that they should then, if they dispute the 28%, they must show us where the money went. So one thing that bothers me, Chairperson, and I haven't got the amount now, how much is Arbic funds of the 12 billion. But the Arbic funds are a conditional grant. And it's ring fenced. Don't say no, Minister. Okay, sorry, Minister. I thought you were saying no. That's the fact. It is a conditional grant.
It is applying to us as well, Minister.
Yeah.
There is only one Chairperson.
Sorry, Chairperson. Chairperson, it is a conditional grant, and it is ring-fenced for a project. So let them split that up for us. It shouldn't be that difficult. The budget cut does not affect the amount here. This amount here is the real amount after the cut. The 727 million that was cut or given away back to Treasury. But let's get that, because Jefferson, the accruals, which was still unanswered, why the amount differs from the AG, but that the AG should sort out with the department. This accruals will hit us this year again, because 1.5 billion needs to be financed out of this financial year. So we're getting this knock-on effect every year, and less projects. We'll see the light because of this, Jay, and I think this needs to be stopped, and we must get away stopping this.
Mrs. Big.
Thanks, Jay. There's a few things, Jay. I'm also, you know, in the response we got from DDG, Vandile, about the project, what is highlighting for me is that there's a serious concern here in the budgetary process of projects. Because at which point, as DDG was saying, then we realize our over-ambitiousness. And she made quite a bit of reference to this over-ambitiousness. At which stage of a project is it budgeted for? Do you start the project, then realize your over-ambitiousness, and then realize you've got problems? The whole budgetary process and the planning process is there, obviously problems. And I think the AG has highlighted it as one of their concerns. And we need to take that really, really seriously, because it's having a major impact on the implementation of projects. And that is further reinforced by the response that I got from Water Trading Entity, and that's what I was querying earlier. I've repeatedly raised in the committee the impact that the delays in projects is having on the budgetary process. Because these delays are escalating the project, the cost of these projects. And that is exactly what I think was being said. When Water Trading Entity said that CCTA resources, they source the funding, it gets all the projects that are being implemented, but then the problem is the projects don't get implemented, so it's hampering Water Trading Entity's ability to recoup those funds and repay to CCTA. And the longer those projects are being delayed, the more those accruals are going to accrue, and they're not going. So it's a vicious cycle. It's a dog biting its tail. A real, real vicious cycle. And how do we get around that? We have to stop this delay of these projects. We have to really, really tighten up on the whole process of planning. Case in point. One of the projects that's highlighted in here, the key highlight, is my pet project, Hazel Mere Dam. That has gone so far and doing so well on it. And yet, 2 weeks ago at the last meeting we had with the department, we were once again told that that project has been halted because of budgetary constraints. And that there's a dispute over the 100 million rand payment to a supplier on that project. So it's been highlighted here as a key achievement, and yet we were told that that project has once again been stopped, a project which is overdue by years, and which is the budget for that project has quadrupled. So how much further are we hindering that project? And the department itself with its budgetary constraints. And then DGD also spoke extensively about budget cuts, but what are these budget cuts? She kept on saying they're having problems because of budget cuts. What are these budget cuts? Where are they coming from and what is being cut? I think we really need to find out what are these budget cuts. And then lastly, there was also something made about they couldn't achieve objectives because of additional requirements for some KPAs. Where do these KPAs change and where are they reflected? And then I'm very, very intrigued, and perhaps it will have to be an additional meeting that we'll have to have about the CMAs, because obviously the whole landscape is now going to change. We're not going to have these 9 CMAs, and we're going to have the 1 entity. So we would need a separate briefing on that whole process and how it's going to roll out, and sometime soon, and the time frames of that as well. Thanks, Chair.
Ms. Mohan?
Thanks, Chair. There's one question for me which was outstanding that relates to double invoice. I think the DG is number and it details how much what steps are being taken to recover that and are any disciplinary actions of the officials involved. The other issue, Chair, I think it's an issue which Honorable Barton and Honorable Chauga raised, that relates to the budget in Program 3. We are not told as the Portfolio Committee in specific terms as to how much was spent on which project, so that we understand how much was diverted to drought. We're not getting that. The AG has identified 10 projects. I happen to know some of them that are in limbo, but I've got a question to just specific ones. The Nandoni pipeline. The contractor has not been on site for 8 months. How much was spent on that part? In fact, what is actually happening to that particular project? The contractor has left site, I think it was in December. So we need to understand that. Thank you, Chair.
Maybe what we're going to need, Chair, will be to get a full report on infrastructure. Of the department. That's a full report. Budget, because it dates back, not now, it dates back. So we'll have to get that detailed report. Follow the money. Because here money is spent, but we don't know where the money is spent. Just to buy into that point. I was not sure that the CFO was suspended at some point, and he's back again. One of the areas that we have identified, which not even ourselves, only even the AG, there's no special management here, there's no action taken. People go home for 3 months, they're not charged, you come back, you object, no, this thing was not the best, then stop everything. You still have to explain this whole thing of your suspension. It may not be you, but the HOD will have to do it. With you in the meeting or outside the meeting, it's up to you. Because we cannot do oversight over a limping department all the time. All the time. So-and-so is suspended. 2 minutes, everybody is back again. So it can't be. I mean, unless we're running as father shop as parliament here. Mm-hmm. cannot be. In fact, it had to stop moving forward. It had to. If anyone is suspended, must be charged in time, and action must be taken. Because there's no action that is taken. And this department spends so much money, billions and billions of rand, of money that's supposed to go to the poorest of the poor, service our people with water. This money is not going there. Because there are those with long fingers who are busy tapping into public money, and we are aware. But we'll have to be told of your status, what is happening. It's very important. You know. Now, Chair, the issue of WTE and its status currently, there's chaos there. Now, the funding of project moving forward is going to be a challenge. You then say that, no, we're going to appoint more debt collectors. But the point is made by the political authority of the department that these people that are owing us money, municipalities that are owing us money, therefore there must be a particular approach that we'll have to take to collect that money. This exercise of you're paying 11.5% on the current debt collector. You have spent more than 200 to 400 million that you have paid into this particular individual. I think the committee is not happy about that arrangement, to be very honest with you. In fact, we may have to make a recommendation that that contract will have come to an end. It does not help the department, does not help government to end. We may have to develop a particular new approach with regard to how we're going to collect that money from municipalities. We made a proposal at this point to the chair in the meeting here that maybe this committee will have to be involved too. 250 something municipalities that we have, we don't know how many that are. But we'll have to deal with such matters, meaning that, Chair, we must be able to make a recommendation at the end that sort of helps the department not to be incurring money all the time, but to be able to be proactive and be innovative in dealing with such matters. The timelines of this dispute. Because we have a timeline to finalize the report at some point. What are the timelines? The AG, I thought you talked about it, as you were saying that there are internal processes that are on. You may have to come back and tell us what are the timelines. It cannot be forever. Especially on the issues of the findings of the AG. At the end investigation, what you then say, a fruitless or wasteful expenditure, those are very key findings. And that's where the dispute is. Then it means that your entire report, you may not even want to entertain it now until such time that we do. Because that's where action must be taken. PFMA dictates and tell us what we must do when there's a regular expenditure. Does the department have the capacity to investigate? Does the department have capacity to recover? Does the department have capacity to take action against those who have transgressed them? These are issues that they will have to address them, Chair, when we look at the capacity of the department. We raise the issue of the internal audit. This is very critical, Chair, and risk both of those areas. They have to appear here before this committee. They have raised their concern, but they will have to appear before the committee. When you deal with the annual report and the general, the people that lead, in fact, in that process, it's your internal audit and your risk. That the ones that department comes after the area of risk and internal audit have spoken to the committee. Because they must appear in Parliament here. Yeah. Because if there is no risk and internal audit in place, that's where we're going to find ourselves here. That's why we have problems that we have, because the department internal controls are not existing. Then we get the officials to come, they tell us the big stories. But if we had to zoom down into what are the issues, what are the problems, we then find what the AG has identified, the capacity of the department. Internal controls are not in place. This is what the AG is saying. That's why the point that we're making is that what is your position with regard to this report of the AG? And none of you have said we have a problem with it except the dispute where that we are. But he has identified weaknesses. Now, when we've identified those weaknesses, the department will have to come up with a plan to respond to these challenges that have been identified by the AG, by the Auditor General. And that report must be tabled here before the committee. That is the audit action plan that we have put in place to respond to the, from the previous one to the current one. what were the issues in the current report? Because we're dealing with this thing as if last year nothing happened in the last financial year. And there were issues that were raised in the last financial year. Have we dealt with those issues? Then we come back to recommendations of Public Accounts Committee. We get embarrassed because we go to the Public Accounts Committee, we get invited there, and we become spectators. What are the issues that are raised by the Public Accounts Committee? This committee must address itself to be able to respond to those issues and put you into accountability on those issues before you even go to the Public Accounts Committee. Because we end up there like we are part of the department ourselves. So those issues will have to be tabled in the committee chair, here in this committee here. We'll have to deal with those issues as this committee. By the time we go to the Public Accounts Committee, we must be able to say that we have played our part as an oversight committee of parliament. For now, we're like spectators, not we are like actors, we are role models who are just playing around. And we are really putting an embarrassment. We have an executive authority that has so much energy, and we're supposed to be carrying that energy all of us. But we are not, by the way, Minister. The department is failing you, to be very honest with you. With all this good progress that we have made and the energy that we have put in the sector, this department is really failing you because leadership that is there, it says, it's not me, now it's not the general. So I'm saying that, therefore, Chair, that there must be a direction somehow that, you know, we come to some kind of a conclusion as to how we deal with this Department of Water and Sanitation. The issue of sanitation, DBG was suspended. For a reason, the issue of Program 3, DBG was suspended. And now, in fact, all of DBGs at some point were suspended, all of them. What are the issues? What are they? It cannot be normal. It cannot be. We're sitting with Program 3 that has spent 28%. You're sitting on 28%, but the budget is finished. Where is the money? What happened to the money? Where did that money go to? So these are issues that I thought, Chair, with the wonderful input that you have just made, it's an ongoing process that we're engaging on. It does not end here. But it's important that the AG must guide us both in the department as to when are you going to finalize your dispute, because we want to get accountability, especially on the issues of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditures. Those are areas that we'll have to get a clear guide, because we are going to hold you accountable on the action that you're supposed to take. If you fail to take, we are going to invite the hawks themselves to come to the parliament. We'll have to invite the special investigation, as we have said, that it's signed by the president. We have to invite them and say, tell us, what is the mandate that the president has signed? What is it that we are investigating? If we fail to do that, Chair, this committee can initiate investigations.
Those are the comments from members out of the briefing session that we had, department briefing us earlier on. The Office of the Auditor General gave us a briefing on the same issues that we're dealing with. As I started with Siri, as I started with my introductory remarks, we made mention of the fact that the internal audit unit should have been here. As a matter of fact, a proposal just interaction with Nadia for next week, she mentioned that it is committee week next week. Perhaps we schedule the internal audit unit to come and brief us. Together with SIU. Yeah, I think those two. Yeah, that's what is coming up quite sharply as the recommendation from Adia, looking at the program and whether or not we shouldn't. And again, this is all in line with what is going to inform our budgetary review recommendation report. So that's the first one. We also do mention, as we started with our session earlier on, about a whole range of other areas. They relate to the tool, SIU, independent consulting firm that has been doing some investigation within the department. Part of also what SIU has been doing is it relates to the forensic investigation report. What is this, pipeline, Fusani or something like that? What is that? Is it Fusani? Buwani. Yes. That's Buwani. So all of those shall be part of, you know, that scope for a briefing. Also, what is also very important is, again, part of our budget review, BRRR, is your scope recommendation. So all of those to be pulled together. Madhya, we have to get a copy of those. One of the other major issues that seeming also in it is tested by the AG's office talks to project management capacity of the department. They have made a few comments, especially on the audit committee. You know, management didn't do this, management didn't do that, and so on and so forth. There are about seven of those areas. But most importantly, it is the maintenance of your infrastructure that is coupled with the safety of your infrastructure. And just a case in point, I read somewhere, I hear you talking about this desalination plant in Richards Bay. I was reading somewhere where already there is some theft or vandalization.
Cable theft.
The question for me there is that these are infrastructures that are supposed to be under a national key point as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the other day we were at, what is that other, in the south of part of Johannesburg. Very early in the days, I think it was around 2015. What is that plant there? Well, it was under a substation of Eskom. No. It was a substation of Eskom where there was a pump station. And that whole theft caused so much of chaos in Gauteng and also part of Northwest. Again, the point for me really must talk about what the department, together with other law enforcement agencies, are doing to secure the infrastructure of the department, water resource infrastructure. If we do not do that, you are going to be subjected to these kinds of things on a daily basis. Just now, the point I was raising, having read somewhere, Richards Bay theft of cable. And what that tells you is that you are obviously the problem in terms of achieving what you had wanted to achieve. Now these are the kind of things, they sound small, but they are very big, especially they impact negatively on the intended object. So these are the issues that we have been raising. Obviously, it is work in progress on our part. I cannot remember what we finally agree upon on the war on leaks. Whether we are going to get a fuller report with everything else lumped into it, and by when are we going to expect that? If my following serves me well, can we just get a quick one on that one? Okay, can we get that by next week on Thursday? That report, we find. So we shall get that report on warm with the next week on Thursday.
Chairperson, also program 3. the breakup,
the breakdown of the spend versus the achievement on program number 3. Okay. I'm not too sure if there is any other specific issue. As I said, this is work in progress. Number of these issues are through to be carried forward. This is all part of our work towards our budgetary recommendations and review report. Mrs. Baker?
Thank you, Chair. The city, the 140 million rand to city being very addressed earlier. The sponsor budget that it was used for drought intervention. We got financial assistance and then we got drought intervention. Can we get a breakdown of that as well, please?
Okay. It's a straightforward one.
I thought Chair will use this opportunity to deal with the issue of drought. That as we deal with this annual report, we'll have to invite National Treasurer. You remember that the issue of drought does not lie with the Department of Water and Sanitation. The Minister does that based on the constitutional obligation that now she ends up finding herself in the Department of Water. Now we need to invite National Treasurer to deal with this issue of drought. So that if they were to allocate funds to the department, which is the whatever drought relief fund, let it be so checked. So the department end up taking money from the program and use it for purpose of intervening on drought. You know. It's very important that I suggest that we may have in that meeting try and invite National Treasurer so that or either we make a recommendation if we are not to invite them, make a recommendation that speaks to this particular area, because it's an area that will always put the department at threat all the time.
Let me ask this student, Shoki.
Okay.
I take it we're done for now.
Yeah.
Next week, you want to make a comment on this picture?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I think what we should do is to indeed give a breakdown of Program 3, what has been done, and what was done as part of emergency, but then is becoming part of the long-term intervention, and give a much more detailed kind of accounting on the expenditure and the performance of Program 3. That we should actually do. Couples to that, I think what we should also, we would do is to even come back and share with you on the things that you are now refusing to do. Precisely because of the situation we find ourselves against what is the mandate of the department, against the responsibility that is being thrown on us in terms of the constitutional obligations. It was part of the Nandoni issue, you're correct. One of the things that we have to start looking at is, do we really have to now go and build when there are no projections of rainfall? Because the unfortunate thing has been the focus on building infrastructure when in actual fact you would not even have an indication of the rainfall. And the Nandoni story has to do with the service provider being able to work but exceeding what was allocated for a financial year and hence the contractor being out of sight. But just in the discussions now, the options we have to make as this committee and as this sector is, do we package all these issues that are emerging now? Just today we're looking at our issues in the Western Cape, in Butterworth. I don't know which municipality works, Butterworth, under which municipality does Butterworth fall under. It was not in the APP. They were all not in the APP. But we have to deal with them. And for me, it is around issues of policy purposes. It's fine that we can look at the rent itself, but I want to propose that let's also look at the issues of policy for the legislators to actually make a comment that can then give comfort to us on how we then deal with these particular issues. That then makes me to recommend that invite Treasury, correct, as the member Chauke has proposed, but don't leave COCA outside, because the issues of disaster management fall within the scope of COCA, including the support to local government, falls within the
the space of ICOCSA. So bringing treasury, correct, but bringing treasury and COCSA would have to be quite important in dealing with these issues. But you are reason. Thank you.
Maybe just before we conclude, two other edits, homework for the department for next week. Mr. Chalko was making a point about debt collection. If the department can bring us, we did receive the contract. Right? If you can give us a breakdown of any payments thus far on the contract. We will have to take a discussion ourselves as to how to take this process forward. Part of our recommendation, of course. The last point that we also had a discussion about relates to the service system that the department has since contracted upon. So those will be part of the homework for next week for the committee. If we can receive such a booking latest by Tuesday, for us to entertain such by Thursday, then for next week on Wednesday, which is our regular meeting day, we shall be having Western Cape and Cape Town MEC and Mayor respectively, and the issue has to do more with the drought sickness that has been engulfing Western Cape and Cape Town in particular. We shall be having such a session for next week on Wednesday. We have extended an invitation, that's why I was trying to interject with Mr. Chalkin. We have extended an invitation to COCTA, also to disaster management and also the weather services. So that's what we are having over and above your Thursday session that shall be trying to pull together everything for BRRR report. We intending to have that report ready for the 18th of October. In lieu of what is to be expected with the MTBP, what do you call that? Budget Process Statement for the 25th, and then all the other debates that are going to ensue after. Okay. Mama Kaula?
Nginenkinga yamanzi awekho kamaphumulo and iy'nkontrakti lezi ezenza umgwaqo azideleleli khona kwala zifika ziqabula amapayipi laphayana ziwashiye gxagxaza angase bangaki ngiriphotha kwamasipala nangumshumathi ufakazi bavele omunye ukhomba omunye ngithi uminista kushukela namhlanje minista yazi ukuthi ileme liyadelela alikwazi ukulandela iy'nkambo abantu abanawo amanzi njengoba ngikhuluma nawe nje ukhokha yethu uqinisile kodwa akafuni minista wenza umsebenzi wawo abantu abanawo amanzi njengoba ngikhuluma nawe ayafika aphinde bawambale angazi kwenzakalani amabebulala amapayipi bashiya kanjani lelo I'm not sure if you're going to be able to do that. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to do that. My family, I'm not I was it. Yeah, bonk.
We have that challenge at Womapumoro. Usually, I yeah, with Mama Uchi, who next week, who would set them lapu, who next week. That's where the matter you're raising belongs to the person. I hear you, Uchi, Uchi, Tarukumana, Abalali, Yahoo. Now, Kulapun Pitekapon and I. What can you say, TG? Here is a local government matter.
Yeah, yeah, it's a municipality in Cockton who's responsible for that particular area. But we will talk to Ilene to find out what's the problem. But it's in the municipal space, which is Cockton.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we allow Joy, Mama. Uma, UTG,
I received phone calls from Mama Kaula and I spoke to our colleagues from Ilem. The challenge you are having is that the councillors themselves and our colleagues that side, they are defending the matter. They are saying, no, you must understand that we have to build the road. Now we really can't get into that space. Yeah. Mam Kaula knows, I've spoken to as far as local committee. They say the local committee itself is defending the contract.
Mm. That's for the last one, members, before we start. Last week on Thursday, Mr. Chagwe was laying to rest his grandson.
What?
Granddaughter, sorry. Granddaughter. At the same district mama at Ilande. So on that set note, we are adjourned. We're meeting tomorrow, at B475. We're meeting with TCCA and the other two pest management agencies at 9:30. The meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
You are very good girl. We have to be very good. Also,
Thank you so much.
Like